welcome to the friend zone.
Every time I'm in the zone.
My name is Dustin.
I'm Francesco, also known as Hey Friend Hey.
My name is Asante.
This is the friend zone.
Let's start the show. I'm in the zone.
Oh, they shoot it.
What?
Now, I tell y'all this every week, much like life, the point of our intro every week at this point is to have a point to take away when you walk away. The takeaway is take what it's away. Called. This week we're highlighting two beautiful black queens who happen to be enjoying themselves, finding some sort of happiness in life at the moment, in times of certainly turmoil for many. But these sisters were smiling and enjoying themselves and dancing to the rhythm of the beat because they got the rhythm of the beat, boom, bam, okay? So they're outside having a good time. And in the background, you hear gunshots. And you know what those two just wise sisters did? They said, oh, they shooting. They kept dancing.
I don't know what was happening.
You laugh it off. That's exactly what happened. So the point of all that
shit off.
The point of that is that no matter what's going on, we have to find joy, find the silver lining in that cloud. With that being said, the hashtag this week is ha 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 ha.
Are you serious?
Yep. And I ain't talking about that 80s song, which I do love. Ha, 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 ha. I know this much is Chloe's baby name. With that being said, I want to welcome everyone to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into mental health. Notice I didn't say understood because I know a lot of y'all still don't know why she named that baby True. So I just want to move forward.
Oh,
so with that being said, I want to welcome everyone to the Friend Zone, your weekly look into all things mental health, mental wellness, and definitely, wholeheartedly, mental hygiene. Because who in the hell wants a musty brain? Dead air. And with that being said, hey, friend.
Hey, Dustin.
How are you, my love?
I'm good. How are your weekend?
Oh, baby, action-packed.
What'd you
action
do?
Action-fucking-packed. I was black, and in calligraphy, in calligraphy letters, I was black this weekend. I actually was blessed and able to attend the Veuve Clicquot Polo Classic.
Yes. Yep. What'd you wear?
I was put on the list, y'all, and I was able to go and enjoy myself. And it was just so wonderful to be amongst a group of so many people of color who were so involved in presenting themselves in a certain way that day. And everybody was so proud.
Yeah.
Everybody was so proud of how they looked. And so it just gave the energy of the space just the perfect boost. It was such a great place to be.
What'd you wear?
I wore Suit Supply. I had on a navy linen suit. It was navy linen with a large white window pane design on it, with a white dressy like sneaker, you know, the little flat ones, and a white shirt, white hanky, which I used to dab the sweat with a dab of sweat, with a dab
yes.
of sweat. But I used my hanky and I had a red fedora on. So it was a good time.
Ooh, just a touch.
Much
just
love to touch. Everyone who showed so much love to you, friend, to Asante, to the Reed, to Getting Grown, all our LSN family. Everybody that loved those shows told me when they saw me, and I love that.
Sweet.
So,
Thank you. Shout
out to all the beautiful people that were in attendance. So that was wonderful. And on Sunday, I actually hung out with Fury, so that was great. It was a good weekend.
Yay! Yeah. Oh, and tickets for his 305 live. They just went live. What's the website? Do you know?
Is it fury305.com?
But we'll look it up
is,
in the
yeah.
meantime. What about you, Asante? How was your weekend?
My weekend was awesome. I actually was with Fury and Crystals in the Six this weekend.
Hey!
Shout out to everybody that came out to the pop-up shop and the live show in Toronto. It was amazing to see all of my niggas in the whole wide world out there.
Cute.
The Six is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
There was a little fireworks show downtown where we were staying. It was awesome. It was great. Mm. Had an amazing time. Came back, did more work for If I Were a Rapper. Been working along. For whatever reason, I've just been collaborating with a lot of people lately. Not even next to the show. And it's just amazing to collaborate people that I've known. So shout out to Latasha and Mouse, who we just had on.
Mouse Jones.
Last week, yes, Mouse Jones. Me and him were a guest on Latasha's show with Jameer. I hesitant to talk about this damn show because it was so messy and because Mouse Jones was there, but it was called...
I love him, man. I do, man. That nigga is hilarious and smart.
It was cute having him on. He's too much.
So the show itself was called We Shall Over Chug. And
wow.
And I will just say that Mouse does not even have to... He doesn't even drink.
Right.
And that's how he is. So... Thank you very much for Latasha for doing that to me. I will let you all know when that arrives.
We're going to start calling Mouse Candy Burris because you know how Candy don't drink or smoke, but she still be with all of
live.
The shits. That's Mouse Jones.
That is.
He may be small.
Oh my God, that's a throwback. Oh my God.
Francesca. Mm-hmm.
Tell us how your weekend was, dear.
It was good. I was in Wyoming. I'm just kidding. Could you imagine?
No, baby. Surely cannot.
I love how y'all faces totally shifted. What if I really was? Would you guys cancel me?
Nah, you know, I don't believe in that.
Never.
We would have to talk.
You.
I would have to be like,
I'd come back to the studio and my seat would be missing next week.
I'd have been like, friend, did you think you could save him? Is that why you went?
Or friend, what the hell is wrong with you? You know, things like that. But that's all.
No, it was a good weekend. I have been, well, I cut my hair.
Which is fucking amazing.
I love
Thank
it.
You.
She on her Vanessa Huxtable, y'all.
I'm really happy about it. I told Mona, shout out to the Mona Cut on Instagram, who's my homie. She's cut my hair for, what, this is like the third year. I told her to give me that 90s and Living Color throwback. I'm wearing a hat right now, so you can't see the full effect. But it's so cute. I'm so happy with it. So I was just messing around with that, just kind of trying to change. I don't know. I'm in like a transitional phase where I'm like trying to change my closet, my hair, just I don't know. You know when you get in
like
that mood?
Kind of change,
yeah, where you're just like looking through your style and yeah, just playing around. So that was kind of like a spring cleaning. Of course, donated tons of clothes.
Yes.
And then prepping because the next stop on my wellness tour is Toronto.
Hey.
Yes.
Right?
Back in the six.
I'm so excited about that. So we're actually apparently, well, I don't know, maybe we could leak it. Friend Zone might be in Toronto, maybe. It's up for debate. Toronto,
you know,
let us know.
On the list.
Yeah.
I was seeing a lot of people, and when I saw them this weekend, they were saying how much they love you guys. So.
Well, baby, I'm ready to turn the six upside down. That's a nine now.
Hey.
I actually put them numbers together. I'm going to be with the shits when we go to Toronto. So, baby, we coming.
Right? So, you know, it's up for debate. So, let's see. But also, in the meantime, thefriendzonelive.com.
Yes.
Go there to buy tickets if you are in Los Angeles because we are pulling up on June 16th, which
That's
is
right.
about, what, a little under 2 weeks from now.
That's right.
We're so excited. We have
Love
a surprise guest
Coast.
That you guys are going
to
be excited about and a surprise musical artist that you're definitely going to be excited about. You know, we're always going to rep artists that we talk about on the show.
That's
so,
right.
And we won't tell you about it, so you'll be pleasantly
That's
surprised
right.
when you get there. So LA, pull up.
TheFriendZoneLive.com.
And if I were a rapper, grab your tickets. Are you?
Just
do you still have tickets left?
Well, if you're listening today.
Oh, shoot.
The show might, I don't know. Maybe there'll be tickets. Maybe there might be. So if you're at your desk and you're looking for something to do after work.
Chance.
I mean, just go to ifiwerearapper.com and see if you're going to be there.
Just pull up and bang on the door.
Pull up, bang on the door. You know,
pull up, hop out.
We're going to have drinks. I'm going to be smoked up. Dustin's going to be on stage.
Right.
We're going to have DJ. Miss Milan is going to be spinning the tunes.
Word.
Yes. Queen of Spades. You know, she's my sister and I love her so much, but she knows I want to work with all the DJs in the whole wide world. So Queen of Spades actually got with Miss Milan and they made it a whole thing. And it's,
oh, word?
Yes.
Oh, sweet.
I told you I want networks everywhere I go. I want everybody doing everything. And they knew each other already, so it's like sisterhood.
Right. Cute.
So I want to, you know, I just want to do the whole thing. Like, I want to be a music mogul and just be able to call up like, oh yeah, I know plenty of DJs in whatever city I touch down in.
Sisterhood of the traveling laptops.
Sisterhood of the traveling turntables. So yes, log on if I were a rapper, come out, play some games. It's going to be some trivia. It's going to be fun as fuck.
It is.
It's
going
to be live. You get to see Fran and her new haircut.
Maybe if I debut it, I might have a hat on.
But don't touch it.
It's a long week.
Because, you know, I'll be there.
So y'all ready to jump into this week's show?
That's
well, no, it's a recap.
Right.
So
no, Mouse was here. That's it. Goodbye.
First of all, that funny ass title that Dustin came up with of Mouse and Men. We had an episode featuring Mouse Jones, and it was hilarious. We had a lot of mixed reviews. I love Mouse.
Only so I can hate on Mouse.
You know
who out there? Hold on.
I was very happy with Mouse. I thought it was a great episode. We have to be able to show different perspectives, especially coming up in business. If all of us talk the same, act the same, have the same trajectory, what fun is that for a show? But as always, you guys had a lot to say.
So, friend, what did you find in those SoundCloud streets?
Ooh, I like how you sent it my way. Well, the comment that I found on SoundCloud that I thought was hilarious was, this person doesn't have a name. It's a long-ass number. So it's like user 31395734.
I don't be knowing about them.
Said, hey, y'all, I've been cracking up already. I must state that Dustin ain't lied not one bit about those damn Walmart floors. I worked there for about 2.5 months doing asset protection, and my damn body ached every time I worked. They fired my ass, and I sure as hell don't miss it. I'm sorry. That has to be the one I picked.
I told y'all. That's all I got to say. Shout out to, who was that, Boosie daughter or Young Thug's daughter?
I told y'all niggas.
Hopefully we can get the audio right here.
I told y'all niggas. What about you, Asante? What stood out to you?
I just said it's Mouse, so I kind of ignored all the comments because it's Mouse.
Okay.
No, I'm just playing. I didn't get to go through all of the Twitter comments because
it was a lot.
My comments were just flying this week with a lot of stuff, a lot of fluff.
And yeah.
I didn't find anything positive to say about Mouse. I'm just really, I need y'all to know how fed up I am with Mouse. And I don't even know if all of this is going to air on this show, and that's why I hesitated to talk about it. But they put me through a lot yesterday. But Mouse... Mouse is funny as hell. As y'all heard last week, that's my comment, and I'm sticking to it. Dustin, what did you find?
In these Twitter streets.
In these streets. We want to shout out to Black Lives Matter at BLM_voice, who said the last survivor of Tulsa's Black Wall Street, 95-year-old Olivia Hooker, gives her firsthand account on the attack on June 1st, 1921. Follow that Twitter account. You can watch the video. It's a short video clip that is really interesting. We always, you know, we love facts. We love history. We love historical accounts. And we really love firsthand accounts. So check that out. I also want to give a shout out to at Lil Uzi Exclusive, who posted the video of Lil Uzi pulling up on Rich the Kid and left him speechless hiding behind security. And Lil Uzi literally walked up and said, "So, what has you been saying about me behind when I'm behind? I find it so funny when you're behind my back. You want to be doing this when I pull up?
You had me. I thought he was really saying that."
So I want to give a shout out to them. Also, shout out to... when I pull up, you don't want to post up. So what is it you've been saying about me?
Yeah.
Shout out to Lil Uzi, though. He was dressed to fight and everything.
Shout out to my sis, Lil Uzi.
Also, shout out to at Fox Files, FOXXFILES, who tweeted, "No Limit Records released 23 albums in 1998, 20 of which went gold or platinum, including Snoop's The Game Is To Be Sold, Not To Be Told, which went 3 times platinum and was a great fucking album. For those of you who don't know, get familiar. And also the best-selling record of Master P's career, 4 times platinum, MP The Last Dime, which was also good. Happy 20th anniversary to that album." And then I also want to give a shout out to Revolt TV to close this bitch out, who tweeted, "Beyonce is perhaps one of the most important black faces in Black Music Month because her very work helps to preserve the best aspects of our culture. Here are 5 moments she conveys the black experience to new audiences." Mm. And so they chronicled those 5 moments. It's a dope thread on their Twitter account. So check that out. And you know what I'm saying? We rode through the good neighborhood of these Twitter streets this week. It wasn't no mess. It wasn't no fuss.
Stayed away from the ghetto.
You know what I'm saying? We kept it above board. And that's all I got to say. In these streets.
So you ready to jump into this week's episode?
Yeah.
Why are y'all making this face?
Because I feel like I gotta be.
Crackers. I'm eating these crackers, friend. I'm ready to jump in. I'm
little
eating these
bags. Like
we nervous.
Look, going in cold, and I'm cold.
No. It's good. Okay, so I'm like, how do I start it? So
I'm eating these crackers, friend.
What a friend would be like, okay,
this episode is also brought to you by Ritz. If y'all wondering what the hell that crumbling is, because I know.
So I had, this is a quick story, and then it'll go into what the topic is. So I had, I was at an event, and I had an executive that I'm cool with. We've been friends for like a long time. So strange enough, he asks me about an artist that he's considering for a tour. And Asante's eating these cookies and it's taking me down. So he mentions the artist and it happens to be an ex of mine. He just has no idea.
Right.
An ex that we had like an awful, I mean, it wasn't awful, but it just wasn't the best.
Right.
So he's asking me about this person as far as the tour and as an artist. And it put me in such an interesting position because as an artist, he's amazing and deserves the opportunity. But as a person, he was pretty terrible, you know? And so there was like, here's the opportunity to give the Carfax almost, mm-hmm. or like a Yelp review on a person. And you have to separate your emotions. Yes. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, who am I to tell this person? First of all, I'm not going to gossip. I'm not going to be like, well, let me tell you, because the guy didn't ask that.
But when you put it in the context of a Yelp review.
Of a human Yelp review, because that's what I got put in opposition of like, what are your thoughts on him? Because I've heard X, Y, and Z. He was like, I know you know him. I don't know if the guy knew that I had dated him and maybe he was fishing. I don't know. But have you ever been put in a position where you had to give Carfax or a Yelp review on someone, whether it was for a job? It could even be that someone had asked you, maybe they were interested in dating them and kind of just wanted to know what your experience was. You know what I mean? Just weird situation where you're like, how honest do I want to be in this moment? But I also don't want to block anyone's blessings because I don't believe in that. You know, like he was a dick and had a lot of issues, but that has nothing to do with this opportunity that could potentially change his whole shit, his whole trajectory. And who am I to like, not even that I hold the power, because it was just a conversation. You know, it wasn't like I'm the reason he's going to either make it or not. But it goes to show how you just never know. You know, like when you treat people in certain ways, you never know when they'll have to be in a conversation with someone that is deciding something about you. They'll be the one that'll be asked. You know, like, it's just interesting the way life works. So I'm curious, have you ever been put in that position? And be honest, were you able to separate your personal feelings from what the person may or may not deserve as far as career?
This happened to me last year.
Ooh.
Last year, this happened to me, and I'm going to be as going to be as general and as you know, evasive, you know, as anonymous as I can. But so, a long, long time ago,
you sound like Drake. The audacity.
October's very own.
Ovio.
May the angels protect me. Never mind. Anyway, so early on in my professional career as an actor and as in the entertainment industry, right? I was burnt professionally, like really, really badly. Like, and it was never, ever made okay. It was blatant. It was complete. It was illegal.
Oh, shit.
All of that, right? And they never, ever made good on it. And so this was, like, literally at the beginning for me, right? So fast forward. So time goes on. The person, they ghost me, you know, both professionally and personally. I reach out and reach out numerous times via email. Their numbers change. They move, you know, out to the West Coast. Then they come back to New York. You know, they're having professional successes on television and in film. And And they're not an actor. Let me be clear on that. This person is not an actor.
Right.
They're not. They're behind the scenes talent.
Right.
And so they were having success in television and in film. And like I said, they were in L.A. and now they were back in New York. And as time goes on, you know, fast forward maybe 6-7 years at this point. You know, I've been working and progressed to certain, you know, circles in certain rooms. And so a professional endeavor came up for me where they were still determining the other participants, but they were solid on me as a choice. And so they consulted with me. And the funny thing is it wasn't even, whoo, I don't want to talk too much. Somebody involved with the production consulted with me about potential choices for the other participants. And they started going down the list of names and asking me if I knew these people. And then this person's name came up.
Whew, and this is the moment of truth.
The right. person's name came up. So now, at this point, we have become industry peers. And in this particular situation, there was a high level of interest in my opinion
right.
on this part. And so I... You know, what was I supposed to do? So what I did was I focused on their professional accomplishments.
Right.
And I said, well, based upon, you know, the work that they have done and the things that they have, you know, offered up for consumption, I think that there has been some great strides made, you know, and I think that that is admirable. And I kind of left it at that.
Right.
And they ended up, well, I won't even say what ended up happening, but, well, they did, I will say, they ended up, they didn't get the opportunity for a couple different reasons. So I never, to this day, I have yet to be in the same room with them physically, but it's coming, it's going to happen.
Of course you're
But
in
that situation,
industry.
I could have, like, really, and I was very familiar and comfortable with the person that asked me.
Same.
And so I could have spoken, you know, off the record with mm-hmm. them if I wanted to, but I just feel like that never ends well. And I feel like it's not good energy to put out. And I feel like all of that is reciprocal. It comes right back to you. And I just don't ever want to be the person who was the one who, you know, spoke negatively on someone like that.
Right.
So sometimes when you think there's nothing that you can say, there is an area, there's something that you can mention instead of what you feel you should.
It's true.
Yeah. And but that shit just fucking, now I can cuss. That shit just fucking happened to me. And I started to tell them that motherfucker did me so dirty.
You know. That I wanted to be like, fuck this. Him. Yes. Don't put him on a tour. You don't deserve it.
Don't deserve
women.
This shit.
I want to be like, he treat women like shit.
Yeah.
He's a liar. Yeah. And then I was like, he's a
Caught
great
yourself.
Artist.
There you go, friend.
He's a great artist, though. And it's like, and you know, we talk about this is in terms of artists, and this, we've had the conversation about canceling people for like their political views or if they cheated or whatever. I mean, politicians get fired and have to resign when they find out they cheated. You know, like sometimes the career and personal is so meshed that there's no separation. And so when the executive came up to me, and it felt weird because I was like, of all the artists that we could be talking about right now,
what
it had
hell?
To be him.
Like when you saw that name on that list, you was like, damn, how did this name
you know?
It was like you were
it's
being
like
tested,
I
friend.
Felt so tested, and I'm a fully conscious of situations like that because it's almost like God is like, okay, you talk all of this. Well, let me put you in this situation to see if you really are about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I did the same like you did. Obviously, the part of my mind wanted to be like, no, he doesn't deserve it. He's a terrible person.
You then, and your mama.
And you know, the pettiness in your spirit will low-key feel a little bit good. Like,
oh my
I
God.
Fucked your whole shit up. But then I was like, but for what?
And it's the thing.
Why would
I think
I do
our
that?
Situations were kind of similar. So
totally.
That's why I'm still speaking. But like, the thing about it is, it's almost like a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like if I, it's literally like when you're like, if I swear to God, if I ever fucking, you know what I'm saying? And then it happens.
And
you're
it happens.
Like, but I did not want that to be a reflection. I feel like.
Well, it says more about you than it would him.
And that's what I take when people, because that happens. And even this person, a lot of people that we know speak very negatively of them.
Mm.
And I don't ever like how it looks. Right. I just feel like it looks like you're concentrating on that instead of really working on like you and your gift.
Right.
And I don't want to be that nigga, so I didn't. But so I was fair as shit.
No, it's the same thing. I literally said to him, yo, he's an incredible artist. He'll give you one hell of a show. You know, I've seen him live. And you'll be very, very happy with him on the tour. I was like, he deserves it too. He works very hard. Because it's true. Mm-hmm. He works very hard. And I can't take that away from him. But, you know, that personal aspect, it was an interesting moment. Because I was like, you know, you almost feel like, does he deserve for me to put good on him?
They don't. But find solace in this part too. There's also an opportunity there for the other person to ask you more questions, mm-hmm. and you will tell the truth.
Right.
So if they were to ask you, so what about like personally, like, do you feel like you're a person of integrity or
but
whatever?
Even if he would have done that, I probably would have left it alone. Because
how would you have answered?
It's not my place. Like, I didn't want to be messy, mm-hmm. you know, and be like, well, he's this, that, and the other. Because that's me as a girlfriend,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's mm-hmm. that's my other question too. Like, have you ever had someone... And this is like a little bit of a tangent, but it connects. When someone has like a scent on, a perfume or an oil, and you're like, I like it. And then when you go to put it on, it doesn't smell the same on you.
Yeah.
And I learned that about people. Like that's who he was with me. Mm-hmm. That's how we connected. That was our relationship. That doesn't mean that that's who he is, period. You know what I mean? Like, that's my perception of him, of the situation. You've seen people, like, it's interesting because even amongst your friends, we don't all know each other the same way.
Right.
You know, the way I know Asante is not the way Dustin experiences Asante. And the way that I experience Dustin is not the way Asante experiences. You know, so sometimes I don't want to be that person to create a storyline based on what I'm seeing. And it may not even be what it is. And I also don't know who he is right now, mm-hmm. which is also unfair for me to put that on him. Like, well, let me tell you what he did 3 years ago. You know how many people he's met in 3 years?
Yeah.
You know how many things he's been through in 3 years? Like, so much has passed. He could be a complete 180 from where we left off, and then here I am, the opportunity to shit on him based on who he was 3 years ago.
That's true. And plus, I would rather shit on you anyway. I'd rather cuss him out. Like, if I see this person, I'd rather cuss them out as right. opposed to talk bad about him behind their back.
Yeah, and then, you know I didn't want to look messy with an executive talking about my ex.
Right.
He didn't ask me all that. What
Goddamn
about you, though?
So a couple of different situations come to mind. Like, back when I worked in a restaurant, or a few different restaurants, I was always, because I've worked in so many different restaurants and I always got like really good reviews wherever I went, and I always was able to just go other places, I felt like I was kind of the in-demand guy, the go-to guy.
Right.
And that sounds kind of backwards, because like, if you were so good, why didn't you stay in one place? But it was like, you know, New York money is fast money, and it depends on the season and the area and all that shit. So I just knew where to go and what to do and how to get there.
Preach.
So going along the way, you meet so many people in the industry, people that you want to work with that are like good servers, people that are terrible servers and they just look good so they make money. Like, you just meet all sorts of fucking people. So it just always became an issue when I would go places. I would either get on the team just because I knew people there, or I wouldn't get on just because I didn't know nobody. Or I will be working somewhere and somebody be like, yo, you work in this restaurant? Like, you have to get me in there. And I'm like, no. Like, I used to straight up tell people that I didn't like. I'd be like, no, like, you're not coming to work here. You terrible. Like, you don't deserve the money. I used to tell them straight up that shit because I hated it. But there were a lot of situations where they were like friends of mine that I knew were not good servers.
Oh, shit.
But they used to keep a job. So then when somebody would be like, yo, your friend came in, XYZ, I would just be like, I'm like, they come to work. They show up. And like, I would
and
just
you
say
ain't
that
lying.
Cause, and it would only go as far as, you know, if they wanted the job and the boss only asked me about them professionally, like, they asked me, is this your friend? And yes, it is my friend, my raggedy ass friend, but friend. And they said, have you worked with them before? And I had worked with them before. So I was being honest, like, through this whole questionnaire. And they just never got to the part where it was like, you know, do you think this person is going to be
good at their job?
Well, not bad at their job. See, they weren't bad at their job. See, they was asking all the right questions and a good employee. and they met that criteria. But there was like a lot of miscellaneous stuff that they would do at work. Because, you know, working in restaurants, everybody's got personalities.
Right.
So they were just one of the personalities that just could not get along with other people.
It's
like
just
behind
a high
the scenes.
Stress
yeah.
job.
Yeah, everybody's trying to get their money. Some people are mad because they got, you know, bills to pay. They got babies, not enough hours, like always a ton of shit. So that's why whenever I would get into it with people at work, some of the time we could just curse each other out and the next day be like, hey, girl, what's up? Like, and be all good. And it was kind of volatile to work in that environment, but it was also kind of stress relieving. We can tell each other how we really feel. We could burn each other's fingers in the kitchen sometime. Like, we could fuck up each other's food if I really hated you. But no, we were there to get money and we hated each other so much that we needed to get the fuck out of each other's way so we can keep this shit afloat. And then there were people that did not do the same. And I was able to take people with me and not take people with me. So I kind of think about both sides of that, mm-hmm. where there's like the people that do deserve to be places, and or there are the people that don't deserve to be places. Well, I don't know if I'm at liberty to say this person doesn't deserve to be here if you're asking me questions that says, hey, this is a person that you would want to be here.
Right.
But if they were to ask me like, all right, well, you know, how does this person work like personally? You know, do you like being in their space or whatever? I'd probably be like, ah, oh, well, you know, they don't organize the way that I organize my shit, or they don't run their food as fast as I do because I got to run behind them. So that's not really somebody I want on my shift. Like, I would say shit like that.
Right.
And I remember being in a situation professionally outside of that creatively because, you know, we do the podcast. So a lot of people, they trust a lot of things that we have to say. They were like, you know, professionally, how do you feel about this person doing X, Y, and Z? And I was just kind of like, I had to stop myself because I thought about how much I did not like this person. And I was like, all right, well, let me put that on the back burner because that's not what they asked me.
This is not what they asked.
And then I realized that this person wouldn't even be good at what they were asking me. So why would I, like, go to bed and lie and put them up there to get something and they're not even good at that and I don't even like them?
Right.
So I just said, fuck that. And I just told the truth in the kindest of ways. And then it came back later that they were mad at somebody else about it. And I was just like, you're stupid. Like, you being mad at the wrong person is exactly why I know that you weren't even prepared for this. But that wasn't my lesson to actually teach you. You still have to learn that lesson, I guess.
And they did.
Wherever you go.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it happened recently to a good friend of mine who, which is why even the whole thing with, like, references and old jobs is tricky. You know, because sometimes it's not fair. Like, your boss could have been the asshole.
Right.
And you were just trying to save yourself, and now suddenly they have the power.
Right.
To decide, you know, your next moves because they're being asked feedback on you when they, you know, it was their experience with you and they could very well have been provoking you. Like, things like that make me uncomfortable about having to give Carfax or Yelp right. reviews on mm-hmm. people. It happened to a friend recently. Him and his assistant was great. Like, she did great, 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 great work. But she, I think, you know, was having some kind of crisis, which happens where suddenly it's like just not what she wanted to do anymore. And she quit. And it wasn't, she didn't give like enough time. So that was kind of ugly. You know, mm-hmm. it was like very abrupt. It wasn't well thought out. I didn't give him time to figure out his next moves, which is why you should put in your notice. You know, what is it, like 2 weeks notice? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that part was ugly. And then unfortunately for her next job, she actually had the audacity for the boss to call him to ask him if she had listed him as a reference. Mm. So the new boss was asking feedback on her. And it put my friend in that shitty position of she's actually amazing at what she does, but the way she left was messy. How do I tell a new boss? Mm. You know what
how
I mean?
How do I?
You know, how do I do that? And he felt very conflicted. And he was like, I really don't know how to feel because there's a part of me that's like, yes, she's good. But she also left like this, which is childish and not exemplary of like a top employee, you know?
See, I struggle with all of that too, right? Because when you think about people giving references, sometimes depending on the job or where you go, they don't even check references. Like, In the restaurant, they just relied on other people. They were like, I wasn't even listening to reference in certain restaurants. They were like, you know, has anybody, you worked in this restaurant before? Did you work with this person? And they're asking me. And I'm in my mind, I'm thinking like,
who'd they list? Call them.
Right. Like, I just came to work to clock in and clock out. I don't know this person. You don't hire me to manage no damn body. That's your job. Like, why are you asking me to do that? But at the same time, I also struggle with like jobs when they say like, especially in the restaurant, right? when you're at will, they'll just cut you when they want to. Sometimes they'll be like, oh, yeah, the season's over, so we're not going to ask you back for, you know, the next week or two.
Oh, yikes.
But a lot of them will literally just be like, you know, at the end of the week, you're done. And it's Thursday.
Wow.
So is the end of the week Friday or Sunday? Like, depending on where you work. So it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
That's scary.
So when you tell me that they quit, they kind of just left. In my mind, I think, depending on the company or the industry, shit, they might have just been able to ask her ass anyway. Like, they might have been mad at them, but they might have done the same thing. Like, oh, we got somebody that's actually going to do your job and somebody else's job.
I mean, that's true if you want to look at it, you know, in both sides. Even though, obviously, my friend wouldn't have done that.
Right.
He's integrity-based. You know, he has more of a heart-centered business model, which is what I... We on my tour, we call it that. Like, what we do is, like, we make sure that people are good. It's not so much about how you're making me feel, but just this as a whole isn't working out, so let's fix it. But I just... It was an interesting thing because it kind of happened to my friend and to me around the same time. I was like, what is this message? This ninja training suddenly. But aside from like career stuff, has that ever happened personally? Because I've also had people ask me questions about someone they know that I've dated, you know, and kind of be like, give me the rundown, the 411, like what happened? Why did it mess up? And then, and it kind of is the same thing. Back in the day, I would have... said it. I'm like, girl, run.
let me put some tea on.
You know, but now I don't feel that way. You know, it happened to me recently too, where the girl didn't come to me directly, but she knows someone I know and was like, see if you ask Fran, like if she'd be comfortable. I want to know what happened. And I felt weird because it was like, well, that's not for you to know.
Right.
And also, similar to what I was saying earlier, that's how me and him connected. That doesn't mean that's how you and him connected. Y'all could very well have a way stronger communication. Maybe you guys have better chemistry. Maybe you guys, you know what I mean? Like, we could have had better chemistry and you guys don't have no chemistry. And then here I'm telling you he's open, he's able to talk, and then you experience him like, no, the fuck he's not.
Long talk, bro. You and me are not the same bitch. No.
I mean, besides that.
Yes, that's happened to me.
You're right.
And
it's common.
I feel like for me it's two things, right? Like amongst, you know, the black gay community, you know what I'm saying? Shit. So but amongst the community and shit, first of all, I'm not about to discuss somebody that I dated. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to be
that
type of person. I'm not messy. And I'm never going to be, you ain't never going to hear nobody say, Dustin said X, Y, Z. That shit don't even come up.
Because
that's not how I get down. So I wouldn't do it for that reason. Number two, I feel like it's a direct reflection on your decision making. I decided to be with this motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? I decided that we loved, you know, there was love and we were in a relationship, and I stand by that decision and that choice. And I feel like me bad mouthing it and bad mouthing them is only going to make the person that I'm talking to lose respect for me and my choices and lose respect for me. So I don't want to, again, I don't want to be that way. And it's never been more appealing to me to vent or to get it off my chest. That's never appealed to me more than to have some sort of dignity post, you know, whatever the relationship was. So that's just kind of like how I manage my shit. Plus, if you ever was mine, you always mine. And you ain't finna sit up and talk about one of mine, period. You ain't finna sit up and dog out somebody that I ever said I loved or cared about. And I'm damn sure not about to allow you to do it off of some shit that I'm telling you that ain't none of your business.
I don't know why I gave me chills. So I like that.
That's how that works. You know, some G shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like
a
that.
Street just, code. No, it's true.
You know,
And I, like I said, the old me when I was younger would have probably been like, let me tell you, even though no one ever really asked me back in the day, but now I can't do it. You're not going to get the Yelp review from me.
No.
You're just not. And because I don't want people doing that for me either. Could you imagine? The woman I was 3-4 years ago is absolutely not the woman I am now. And if you're getting a Yelp review from Fran in 2014-15, it's extremely unfair because that is not what the experience is going to be now. You know what I mean? And you're just like chopping me down already before the person gets to experience. But also, it kind of makes me look at the person sideways, because why are you asking for Yelp reviews? You know what I mean? Right. Like, it sounds like you got your answer already. If you need to be asking around, like, experience the person. What is it to you?
Step your game up.
Yeah, like, just jump in. I get it. People get nervous. And you know what, too? I will say, there's an element of, like, because I do want to protect women, you know, and there's, like, the unity.
Oh, I understand that.
There's a sisterhood of, like.
Well, fuck that shit. You know what I'm saying? Because at that point, she trying you.
I know.
Like, you
and
a
that's
sucker
why
and
I,
don't have a conversation with this bitch.
And
you
that's
know what
why
I'm saying?
Who's the bitch?
I just done got mad, friend. Who the fuck asked you that?
Who was stepping to
you? Who was it?
We need to know.
We need to act.
We need to start having
I'm taking this shit to Twitter right now.
We need to start having an
after show. Y'all know it is, because I showed y'all. I like how y'all both got
We might need to pause, because I'm
going
to
have to. Well, we're going to have to roll your tapes back. You have to roll the tapes back after the show.
But all I'm saying is, there's a part of the sisterhood in me. I love how y'all just got There's a sisterhood in me that's like, I want to protect her. I don't even know her, but I want to protect her. I don't want her to get hurt or have to experience what I did. But that's not my job, number one.
And or like your man.
Not my man, and it's also may very well not be her experience.
Right.
And it would be unfair of me to be like, he did this.
We're going to give her experience. All right, she asked you one more fucking question. She's going to get her. We're going to define her experience.
Because like you're saying, like, not to be extreme, but if you was in a relationship with somebody and he treated you a certain way, if you were to be like, he treated me this way, like, he used to buy me flowers all the time and X, Y, and Z, and then you become the new girl, you're like, this nigga ain't thought about no goddamn flowers.
Which happens too, I'm sure. Imagine if I was, you know, who knows? The things that I could be complaining about or seeing differently might not even be anything to her. You know what I mean? Like, we're different women. We have different standards. We have different expectations.
Totally different. Different views.
Different views.
And like you keep saying, he might be completely different with her. Like, because of however she is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they deserve each other.
I'm dead.
What's that song? I hope it gives you hell. Hope it gives you hell. Okay. Shit.
But it does make me sad, though, I have to admit, because there was a part of me that wanted to be like, run, run.
Right. And it was also a part of you to be like, bitch, if you don't get out of my face asking me this goddamn question, who are you to ask me about my nigga for your benefit? What kind of shit is that? Girl, I will slap the shit out of you. If you don't take your ass, get the fuck out of here. That's what it makes you want to do, right? Right. Kick in the door, wave in the 4-4, like, what? And let's be clear, the explanation I'm talking about giving, that's amongst mutual friends, people that knew me and that person, whatever.
That's different.
A hole on the street? Please, I wish you would. We ain't got shit to talk about anyway. I wish a stranger would coach me. So, you used to kick it with, you know, whatever. Like, I know you.
Are you his sister? Like,
I know you?
They come woman to woman in my DMs.
As a man, I want to talk to you about, okay, we finna talk, all right. Anyway, go ahead, friend.
Has that happened to you, Asante, with relationships with someone trying to get the Yelp review? No.
No. People don't bother me when it comes to niggas.
No. What about in the reverse? Have y'all ever asked?
I don't even got to answer this question. Everybody in this room. No, the ghost that's floating around. Everybody in the room. No, I would never. Like, are you, friend?
Can you imagine me asking someone, I can't.
So
even.
I'm interested in,
You know what? Never mind.
My shit ain't even set up like that. Y'all already know. Please.
What happened to Sante?
Nothing. I remember a situation where I met somebody's, like, ex, and they were just kind of like, I guess, trying to figure out who I was or something. And I'm just sitting there kind of like, what? So, like, now I'm thinking about this shit all over again. I'm like, uh-uh. Like, that wasn't a situation I knew how to be in, because they were kind of, I don't know, I guess, trying to get their person back or something. But this is somebody wasn't even really talking to like that. It was kind of like, I know this person. Yeah. And they're like, oh, yeah, you know them. Yeah, we used to talk. And I was like, okay. I didn't ask, and still not interested in this conversation. So when's it going to be over? Like, that's why I'm standing there looking.
Let me tell you the best way to handle that next time this happens to you, because I know you'd be on your... You know, I know you be out here. Look, so next time this happened to you, the best way to handle that shit, empathize with the nigga. You know what? I'm so over it. Let me open my heart, like Yolanda Adams said, okay? Let me open my heart and tell you, damn, that's what's up. You know what? I understand you. You know what I'm saying? It ain't even that serious with us. I get why you asking. I wish y'all peace. Like, you know, very much pat on the very much peace. Pat on the head. Tap tap
would,
on the top of the
I
head.
Would
that's
with
how you
a,
handle
with a
that.
Newspaper.
You want to come to me being a being childish? I'm finna sun you.
I'm like,
that's what you do next time with
Sante. And I you know I hate doing that because in my mind I'm saying like, why are you talking to me?
That's what you let them
like,
know.
Why
you
did
know,
you
know, you let them
yourself.
Know you know why they talking to you. You so immature that I'm finna just nurture you right now because that's what you need.
You gonna
that's
be like Jade at the Makosa cookout. Have a good day.
Yeah. There you go. Day. There Man. You go. There you go. Right there, my nigga Jade. That's what I'm talking
yes.
about. Braid it up.
No.
So the conclusion is
interact less.
No Carfax.
Nope. Absolutely.
Don't Yelp review people.
Nope.
Never okay.
There's no circumstance, whether it's career, there's never a circumstance where
the only
you
appropriate
give that.
Circumstance is if, and it should only, the questioning should only go to this level, right? If you know that one of your friends knows this person and may have been interested, that's the only time it's appropriate to ask a question like,
right.
Listen, I met this person. I don't know, like, if y'all know each other, if you like them or not. I just want to be clear. That's appropriate.
Got you.
But asking somebody about what their time was like, no.
What their time
right.
was
right.
Like.
You want to read my... You won't tell my secrets. They're going to be in the
you
pages
won't,
of your
won't
diary.
Tell.
Please.
I agree. Like I said, everyone experiences people differently. Based on your life, how you see the world, what you've been through, how you receive information.
How you was raised.
How you was raised.
The problem be your mama in the first place. That's the problem.
The state of your mind, the state of your heart. You know what I mean? There's so many factors that affect how you receive people and mm-hmm. experiences. So who am I to tell you what I received? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish people would take that into consideration more before speaking on their experiences with people.
Mm. Also, speaking on behalf of the male delegation, right?
Please.
Have a little bit more pride in your game. Like, if that was you, that's you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't take that back. You can't take history back. You can't take time back. You can't take memories back. People that knew that y'all kicked it know that y'all kicked it. So why are you okay with allowing them to disrespect your union? Whether it's,
that's real.
You know, still together or not, that's a reflection on you. So at least, like, your energy, okay? And I don't mean E-N-E-R-G-Y. I mean I-N-N-E-R, capital G. You know what I'm saying?
I heard it.
Your energy should motivate you to have a little bit more dignity and respect for yourself, your history, and your ex-partner.
Into me, I see.
Into
what
me,
is it?
You know, intimacy, not into me, I see. Word to Tom Joyner. Y'all are so silly this week. But I'm trying to tell you, like, that's so crazy to me that niggas.
No,
like,
I like how you see it.
Like, what?
It's more so respect for you.
Hell
you know
yeah.
what I mean? Like,
what kind of nigga? So you out here getting dogged the fuck out, getting dumping all. Like, you can't keep your shit together? At least let a motherfucker think y'all had differences, you know, as opposed to it being a mess.
Irreconcilable.
Yeah, keep that shit, you know, keep the door closed. You got to. Like, I just don't understand. That's the problem, all this oversharing. That's literally the problem.
Right. It's true.
Genuine tried to tell you, it ain't none of your friend's business. Ain't none of your friend's business.
TGT.
These are on record for reference. So, you know.
So those of you listening, let us know your thoughts. Do you do Carfax?
No,
do you do Yelp reviews?
Do you do Hofax?
Hofax, Dick mm-hmm. Facts.
Yeah.
You say yeah.
If you're a part of the art scene, Artifacts. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But you know.
You know, when you first said that Yelp review, that really put it in perspective. Because I think about when I read the reviews for certain places.
Oh my God. It's, every time I'm like, what you the just fuck seem are
you
angry. Doing?
You're not even, like, you gave it one, you went to a burger restaurant and you gave it one star because you ordered chicken and they didn't have any. It was like, why did you do this? And then you had to complain, and then you complained about the beverages or something. It's like, what? Why did you even write a review?
And
you
sometimes it's manager. So angry where I'm like, you're mad about spring rolls. Like, really yeah. mad. Like, really mad. Like, that to me already says a lot about you to me that I probably don't connect with. And that's why I think of it as Yelp reviews, because I've heard people dog people and it's just like, you're really mad.
It doesn't look good.
It is. It says more to me about your state of mind. You know what I mean? But anyways,
it is some
just something to consider, right?
I'm just thinking about how when I go into, I need to separate some things before I answer these questions mode.
Like, right. Like that's the mode.
For real.
It's called maturity. You're like, am I going to be mature or not?
It's like, ooh, I don't like this nigga, and we used to date, and he trying to come work here? Oh, hell no. Nah.
Right.
But then he's a good worker, and I know that he'll put all my food on my tables, because, you know, he'll have my back, you know, since we used to date.
Yeah, and I don't want to cut nobody's money.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then his tip out, he might tip out my cover. Never mind.
He might
sorry.
Look extra look
I was just
for
thinking,
you.
Like, damn. Many upsides. Many upsides. Many benefits.
But that's it for this week's Hot Button.
Great show.
Something to think about,
what a
right?
great conversation.
So much for the to nation. Think about.
This week's podcast is brought to you by HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers your favorite step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. Each box is delivered right to your door in recyclable, insulated packaging and made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated trusted sources. Plus, with the simple recipes outlined on pictured step-by-step instruction cards, you can feel confident in your cooking. There are even lots of one-pot recipes that require minimal cleanup, so you can spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping each week and get that time back to do more of what you love. Dustin, I know you have the HelloFresh service. How does it treat you?
It treats me like the Lionel Richie song, Hello. That's how I feel every time I open a box. Let me tell you something about HelloFresh. It's the most simple, easy way to get something really good to eat at a great cost, okay? Everything you need is right there step by step. So for people who feel safe when you're guided and instructed through things, this is the perfect scenario for you because you get the end result and you literally have someone hold your hand along the way. The food is delicious. The instructions are so easy to follow. Listen, it's not rocket science. It ain't algebra. It ain't even Christianity. It's so simple. Like, wow. All you have to do is just follow instructions. That's it. And I suggest that everybody gets as fresh as they can with HelloFresh, because not only do we not want musty brains, we don't want musty plates either.
Amen. So for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh, visit HelloFresh.com/FriendZone30 and enter the code FriendZone30. That's HelloFresh.com/FriendZone30. Offer code FriendZone30 for $30 off your first week of HelloFresh.
Now let's jump into this week's wellness segment.
Well, well, let me stay in my tone. Well, well.
So I know anxiety lately has been pretty high. There's a, you know, we always talk about this. The internet has been heavy. There's a lot going on, especially politically, the videos, everything, even with celebrities. So I have been trying to find different ways to meditate and relax. You guys know that's like my passion, trying to be a professional calmer. Like, how do you...
What a great job.
Right? Like,
shit.
How can I continue to develop ways to stay calm by testing it out on myself and everyone around me and then passing on the information? So I wanted to put this one to the test. Obviously, if you're listening, you're driving, please don't try it.
If you're on a road trip.
Because y'all be like, I almost swerved. They be laughing at Dustin talking about they almost swerved off the highway. I'm like, please.
Okay, don't meditate off the highway either now. Don't breathe right. off the highway.
Right, but here's a meditation that I tried, and it's really nice because it's not a lot of thinking, which I think sometimes meditations, it's like too many things. You got to think about the breathing and this and that. But this one, I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to think of what color comes to mind when you think of calm energy and peaceful energy, your state of mind, your body. You know those days where everything just feels right and you just like, this is how life, I wish life could always feel that way. What color comes to mind for you guys?
I'm looking at like a periwinkle blue.
Yes.
Something kind of, but a little like deepish, a little dark.
Like a,
little,
a cerulean?
Yes.
I like that. Yes. Dustin, what color comes to mind?
I just see green.
Oh, sweet. Okay. And now I want you to think of the times where things are heavy, toxic. Think of the internet. Think of the president. Think of the videos people are constantly sharing.
Red, red, red.
Red comes to mind.
White.
White. Okay. I wish I could see his face when he said that. Okay, so here's what the meditation is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You can either start at your toes or start at the top of your head, whichever one you're drawn to. Now, I want you to breathe in the color that brings you calm. Like breathe it. Picture it as like a little energy or wave of color. And then I want you to breathe out the color that you don't want, the one that you attach to toxicity. You see? It's working already. And the way that it helps is that if you start at your toes or start at, yo, Dustin is really releasing over here. You got a lot
it
of
works.
Weight.
It works.
So what you're going to think is picture the color filling your body from the top of your head, or if you started at your toes, and start picturing your head being filled with it, your neck being filled with color, and keep taking the breaths, take the breath in of the color you want and then release the color you don't want, and keep taking those deep breaths with the color waves until your whole body, from head to toe, your arms, your belly, your knees, your thighs, your toes, all of it is filled with the color that brings you calm and peace. And that's a really, really calming meditation using color therapy.
Okay, what question? Is it too early? Am I interrupting?
No, go ahead.
Okay, I see blue now.
Okay.
So does that mean, like, I don't know, like I feel like water now?
Well, that's a good
Maybe
thing.
Maybe it's all right.
But do you feel calm?
Yes, I feel great.
As
actually.
Long as you feel calm. And I think it's just a nice meditation. Because first of all, color therapy is awesome.
Yes.
Using colors. I know some people, when they listen to music, they see colors. Mm-hmm. I forget what that's called. I'll look it up.
Being high.
Being high. But it's just a nice way to get present, number one. Like, stay away from your phone for a little bit. From people around you, maybe this is a good thing to do at work. You know, you go to the bathroom sometimes, you just like need to breathe. Or if you wake up first thing in the morning, or maybe right before going to bed, whenever you can get a couple of minutes, fill your body from head to toe with that color that brings you peace by filling your body with the breaths and releasing the darker color. Just, it's an energy thing. You're releasing the energy you don't want and making room for the energy that you do want.
Amen.
Amen. So that's it. It's just a nice color therapy meditation that I want you guys to try. And that's it for this week's wellness segment.
Whew.
I love how peaceful y'all look.
You know what's funny? We used to do stuff like that in high school.
Really?
I had a random, and this is, I'm going to tell this in a really messed up manner because I don't want to give this woman her flowers. But you know how the, you know how the teachers are just like teachers that work, so they're trying to figure out what the hell to do with their students.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our acting teachers this year, she just was kind of like, all right, I guess we got to do acting exercises. So like
Dead.
A lot of her curriculum was like yoga and all that stuff.
Ooh,
so
I would have been the happiest student in there.
It did connect. Luckily, she wasn't BSing. Like, she was finding the things that she knew would work that connected, like that she knew about, because it was artists doing the breathing exercises to connect with their roles. So we would do the color therapy, and so she would actually sometimes have the colors, like she would have
On the wall.
Yes. So
So
she would like just hold up a color. She was like, how does this color make you all feel? And then we would say happy, whatever. And you know, normally because one person said happy, everybody else gonna say something good,
right?
And then obviously the next color is gonna be bad because you only got two options, so you kids. But it was very effective. So she'd be like, now close your eyes, now the color that made you happy, breathe it in, I want to hear you. Deep breaths and do it.
Oh, I love
so
that.
So instantly when you said breathe the colors in, now that's why I opened my eyes. I was like, girl, you about to make me meditate. I know what you need now. Like, I know what it is.
I love it. It's so nice.
That's great for like high schoolers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's so appropriate because like as a kid, like in elementary school, that kind of shit used to make me like, I don't know, like, I wouldn't trust whoever it was because it was too close to the shit. They would tell you, like, you know, strangers and pedophiles right. and shit would be saying to you.
They're trying to tell you to keep
all them questions,
safe,
like,
no?
asking me, how does this make you feel? I was side-eyeing like a motherfucker. Like, it make me feel like I'm finna have to tell somebody whatever you finna do next.
Imagine.
But high school is different.
But imagine you in high school, yeah. you still thinking like that. How does this color make you all feel? And a hood nigga stand up like, bitch, what the fuck you doing?
Right. Like, don't ask me no shit like that. Bitch, what's 2 + 2? We in school, baby. What the fuck you talking about how this color make me feel? None of your goddamn business, first of all, since we getting personal. Okay? You better teach me some algebra, some pre-trigonometry. You know what I'm saying? What's good? What?
You know the rapper Trouble?
Yes.
There's a video he did. It's called Over and Under. You guys ever watch those videos on YouTube? They are hilarious, where they mm-hmm. ask artists questions, and they ask him what he thought about witchcraft, and he was like, that's spooky. Me and Jade been calling everything spooky.
Spooky.
But that's what it made me think of. Imagine in high school, like, that's spooky. You know, that's we have spooky. Me breathing no damn colors.
We just knew this teacher. We were like, she just coming to work, y'all. Let's just go and see what Katie talking about today. We were some terrible stuff.
Ask me no shit like that, no, one-on-one. I'm glad it wasn't like your guidance counselor asking, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
well, that would kind of make a little bit more sense because, you know, I guess depending on the type of counseling you see, and they would hold up them little pictures, like, how does this
everything
make you
feel? Needs to be by the book.
Right.
Everything
so,
needs
like,
to be
you
by
the
book.
The little ink blot.
Yeah, the little ink blot. So, like, you know, in acting class, it's kind of like, girl, don't you want a monologue or something? Talk about colors. It's like, like, I got these, like, come get these words.
Who
sis.
Is you? Iced tea? Colors. Colors. Colors.
Damn.
But hopefully you guys will try that. Give me feedback
yes,
if you do,
it was
right?
fantastic. And yes. this here pointer, like, this was great.
It was.
I really wish people could have seen y'all faces. Y'all really left the room.
It was great.
Yay. And I love it because I decided that the colors should be customized because people yes. react differently to colors. Yeah, like, if I tell you pick this and then release that, usually people, like, release black. But to me, black is a calming color.
Black
for
is
some
beautiful.
People.
Always bet on black.
Black is beautiful.
Okay. So black is beautiful. No, but something to try. And that's it for this week's wellness.
That was great.
Let's jump
that was
into
a good ass wellness segment because I feel so much
feel
better
it.
About everything.
I'm telling you, it's a great thing. I love doing it first thing in the morning before I even get out the bed.
I love doing it first thing in the morning before I get out the bed.
Why did I say that?
I too. Love doing it first thing in the morning. The morning delight. Mm-hmm. I told you I'm a breakfast person. Yes.
Asante, please take it away.
Take it away.
All right. So welcome to the Music Man segment. Before we start, or to start it off, everyone, please go cop Big Freedia's Third Ward Bounce.
Oh, yes. yes.
I mean, I just think that there's no other way to kick this off than Freedia. There was a lot of stuff that happened in music, but I feel like Freedia needs to shine, all of the shine. I want to start off on a positive note. It's only 5 tracks, you know, for people that are like, oh, if I don't know what type of album this person will, but it's only 5 tracks.
How right? do you guys feel about the thing that was going around? I saw it on Twitter for a while, the stink pieces, as Dustin mm-hmm. would so kindly put it, where people were mad that Frida's voice gets used a lot, but her image is never used in the videos. You know, like how Drake used it, Beyonce, mm-hmm. and I forget which other mainstream artists, and people kind of felt the way. Like, why wouldn't you put her in the video?
I see the point that everybody's making, and I definitely think that it's two huge opportunities, two huge records, and two really visible records. But I still think people can kind of do what they want to do with their videos.
Right.
And I think
true.
That Frida's contribution to both songs was not necessarily one that, you know, warranted, like, I don't know. It still would. I think it would have been
small, like,
yeah,
samples.
I still think it would have been dope as hell. You
for
know what I'm
culture.
Saying? For especially for nice for both songs actually, because mm-hmm. they are so deeply culturally rooted.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I have more thoughts about Frida's EP though.
Mm, I love it. It was good. And mind you, Frida said, as long as the check clears, she don't care.
Which
she,
I see.
Right.
Amen.
She's first like, of all, I'm not tripping.
Big Frida is working. Let's working. Be clear.
It has
festival
been.
After festival.
Yes.
Super great, like collaborative projects with brands and working in different capacities other than just performing. Like Frida is out here and I'm totally happy about it because I love bounce music. You know, I love New Orleans and all of that.
Yeah.
That being said, okay, this EP is 5 tracks. I like one song. And the one Which song one? That I like, I love. Play. I put it on display. You didn't come to play. That's my shit. I've been tweeting about it all week.
Cute.
I listened to the EP and it's cool. The song with Lizzo is cool, mm-hmm. you know, but the only song that really, really like took me there is Play. Play is the the shit. And I don't know, maybe I want, this is very like pop tinged bounce music.
Right.
And sometimes I, you know, I love like going to New Orleans to the club, and I know that's crazy. And there's a place for all of this. And get money, Frida, because I ain't mad.
Truly.
But I just play is the song I like on there.
I like the whole project. For people that said the whole thing with Frida not being in the videos, I think that there is definitely something missing when you don't have Frida in it.
Right.
But I think that we are still waiting for Frida's season. And I don't want it to happen before Frida has a season anyway. I think people want those things to happen to kind of lead into Frida's season. Like, oh, Frida's in the video with Drake. So, like, now Frida's really on.
Right, like, to initiate it.
Right. So, like, you know, Dustin, he said he only liked one track off the project. And I know Frida has a very diverse fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Frida's still making all different types of music to find out, like, all her hits, which I think is really dope. Because
I ain't mad at
because
it.
There's a large market for Frida. And shout out to the track with Lizzo just because... Like, I can tell when Frida comes to places like New York and everybody's bouncing all over the goddamn walls, drunk as fuck. Like, it's black people and a bunch of white people in there, some Asians in there, like, everybody in there trying to bounce their asses off. So, like, some of these records I hear and I'm like, ooh, oh, this ain't really for me. But in my mind, I'm thinking, like, oh, they gonna play that at them clubs that I don't really like to go to.
And
so
I love that.
I want Frida to get this shine.
Right.
And so then I also think, like, damn, like, now I can't wait for Frida to make this type of record. And damn, I think it'd be dope if Frida makes, like, a world record, too, like a world bounce. Like, I'm just thinking about all these cool things. So it's just really dope to see Frida drop new music. It looks, so on 10 compared to what Frida's been doing. So you can see that there's that element of, like, an evolution there.
Yeah,
I just appreciate it all.
Changes.
Yeah.
See, y'all are the best kind of fans because y'all just happy she's getting money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because most people are like, oh, the music's changing, you're going mainstream, but it's clear she's playing around with her sound.
Right.
You know, and trying
to... She's been working, making some of the same music for a lot of this time, so why not, you know, play with some things, see what's going to work. And
she's experimental. Remember on the show, like, with her looks and her hair and the video and the styles, like, she wanted different things. She didn't want to just do bounce in the club. Like, she wanted to try different elements and change the background and
dancers. That's exactly why we haven't had the Frida season yet, because I feel like
I get what you're
for
saying.
Me personally, I feel like there's so much that Frida will do when Frida like has arrived, and Frida like all this working and stuff, and people wanted Frida to like have been put on. Like, Frida's been working, so when Frida does have that album, like, we might see features on there. We're like, damn, you know, they only do one feature every couple years.
Barbara Streisand or some shit.
Hell yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
Like Frida and Celine Dion off this bitch. Like,
right.
I'm going to lose my shit. Like,
Frida and Bjork.
Ooh. Bjork would cut up on the bounce beat, too.
Frida and Tom York.
I thought you were about to say Frida and Tommy from Love. Beat her ass in the club. Beat her ass in the club. Beat her ass in the club.
Fight her on the TV.
It's a Monday night on VH1. You see me. Fight her on the TV.
Where's my pig?
Oh my God, that was so good.
Tommy and that damn pig. Tommy come in talking about her pig. We'll come back to that.
Right, we ain't there yet.
We'll get there. We're not there yet.
But yes,
we'll
get there. Again, check out Frida's 5-track EP. Karaoke is the track featuring Lizzo. Third one, Bounce, features Erica Falls. Bomb, Rent, and then Play features Goldie.
That's the shit. Play, y'all.
Play is the shit. Watch the video for Rent. Check out the whole damn thing. Tell us what you think. I just had to kick off the Music Man segment with that.
Hell yeah.
And then I also just want to talk about If I Were a Rapper. If you're listening, it's happening tonight. If you're listening after Wednesday, your ass missed out. It was fun as hell. Everybody's going to show the fuck out. I probably shouldn't be doing some of this since you're on the show, but I just want to talk about like a few different artists that I'm going to highlight for If I Were a Rapper, just because it's me and it's my show. I thought that it was very important to categorize certain artists because they've done so much for hip hop. And one of those is none other than the East Atlanta Santa himself, Gucci Mane.
The East Atlanta Santa.
Yes. I was on Wikipedia and I just learned so much about Gucci Mane, and I just figured I would share some of the information that I found. So a lot of this information is being brought to you by Wikipedia, and some of the information might come back on If I Were a Rapper. So if you're listening and you show up, say that when you raise your hand.
So Dustin gets to cheat, or he's like,
Well, I was about to say that you listen to the episode.
He got the cliff notes.
Well, some of the answers are like adjacent. So like he'll just at the very least be able to like adjacent.
What do you mean? The first person get the answer, then the next two get the answer right, then the next three get the answer right. Then everybody get the answer
y'all
right.
Y'all gonna go to count.
Go ahead.
I thought about
we're
that
being ridiculous. Okay.
And it was gonna continue because I thought about that Jay sitting on Chasing Atlanta, but we gonna dial back.
OMG.
We gonna dial
shout
back.
Shout out to Fresh Alina who got me watching Chasing Atlanta
and you know
on
what?
YouTube.
Since it is the music fan segment, shout out to Chasing Atlanta for playing all the tunes in Jay.
I'm dead at
we can wait.
The
we can
wait. The soundtrack being like mainstream song.
Also the transitional songs too are directly they're clips from like real reality
real,
stuff
yes,
like the Real Housewives
yes,
and
Love
and Hip-Hop.
Yes.
Anyway, sorry. Fresh, what do you have me watching?
Thank you, Fresh, for your contribution to my registry on Twitter. Roderick Delontic Davis, known professionally as Gucci Mane, since he released his debut album in 2005, right? Now, I remember being a young nigglet. Shout out to Jameer. Remember being young, buck, and So Icy dropping, and thinking to myself, what in the motherfuck is going on in the hood? Like, another wave has been made. Because before that, I remember T.I. being the shit, and, you know, I mean, and not to say that he was no longer when Gucci appeared. Everybody was still making their money. But I just thought it was so interesting that we have all of these producers today, and they have all this history that we might not even know a whole lot about. So without further ado, Gucci Mane got his start in Atlanta, Georgia, but he's actually from Alabama. So he's called the East Atlanta Santa, but he was actually born in Alabama.
Mm.
Wow, that rhymed. I am not a rapper, but if I were a rapper, hey.
Shameless.
I can't help it. yeah, he's from Bessemer, Alabama. And I just thought that it was so funny because I remember talking about him being from Atlanta on Twitter one time. And somebody's like, he's not from there. He's from Alabama. It's like, I know that he was not born in Atlanta. But there are a lot of people that have made their staples, such as one Ludacris from Chicago, but he made his staple out in Atlanta. And even Rich the Kid was born in Queens. And then he, I guess, was making music out in Woodstock, Georgia, which is not Atlanta, by the way. People say he's from Atlanta, and it's not. Woodstock is very far. It's very deep. It's very hick.
Shout out Lil Uzi.
Shout out Lil Uzi. Shoulder shimmy on that. He also had history with Waka Flocka Fame, Waka Flocka Flame, Tammy's ex-husband, Tammy's baby father, who knows?
They broke up?
They still married,
I mean,
Tammy
well,
Rivera?
Yeah, Tammy's baby father, or Tammy's husband.
Oh,
me.
I was
sorry,
like,
I forgot.
I missed the memo.
I just remembered that they had their fluff, and then she dropped that project not too long ago, and it still was sounding like, you know, then.
Oh.
So, you know, it was taking me back. Look, an album, side note, since we were talking about Carfax, an album or a song could be a Carfax.
Truly. There are a lot of Carfax about me.
Cool.
I'm just,
you could keep it in a song. I'm cool with that.
Look, even give me a little royalty or two. Why, if you really
as
want to be
I
real.
Point.
Period. Shit.
Put it in a love song.
Anyway, Gucci Mane actually worked with Waka Flocka Flame, and they had extensive history together. And one, Deb Adney, Waka's mom, they worked together. She managed him. Yes. Very, very a little known facts.
I still want Debt to Management.
There's a whole
I know. And there were a lot of people that did not know. I was on Instagram Live one night talking about a lot of this stuff, and people were like, what? No. And I'm like, yeah, y'all don't remember this? And then I remembered I'm from Atlanta, so I have a different perspective. So I felt like I need to talk about some of this. But Deb Adney, I should actually just skip forward because a lot of it is going to talk about some of the game, and I've decided that I'm not going to do that. So we'll move on to Gucci Mane is married to the best woman in the entire world, Keisha Kaur, and we'll move on. Because I'm remembering what I wanted to do with some of the games, and I don't want to do this yet, so I'll save it for the next time. But Gucci Mane worked with tons of artists. Him and Zaytoven actually just dropped a project, or Zaytoven just dropped a project, and Gucci Mane is featured on it. And they do the project the song East Atlanta Day. They dropped a video for it almost a year ago. But the mixtape is pretty hot. There are tons of features on it, and Gucci was the co-sign of many artists coming out of Atlanta. And I think it's dope that somebody that's not even from a place can go to a place, build his shit up, like make his name in the hood and run that shit, and then put his name out, go to jail, come back to that shit and run it again today.
True.
Like when Gucci was behind bars, that nigga was still dropping music like no other.
And he looks great. He came back a whole nother nigga. True. That's why the whole clone rumors are kind of funny, but low key, I'm like, was he clone?
Best part is the music didn't suffer because of it. He's evolved personally.
Right.
And the music has not suffered, or, you know, he's not compromising like his artistic whatever. Because of his new life. Meaning, he's still rapping about all the same stuff. The beats are still good. You know what I'm saying?
Still the same magic.
I'm just thinking Gucci Mane is such a national treasure.
I'm thinking about him and that song with Mac Breezy. Like there are songs, you can play songs of his from 2000. He started back in 2005, but you can play songs of his from 2001, I feel like. And his shit be knocking.
You can play Icy right now.
Icy can go right now, and it could feel like the club again.
What? Right now.
It's a nitty beat.
Okay.
Zaytoven. There are all these people that came on the scene that really created everything happening right now. And I'm just so proud to be from Atlanta that happening. Gucci Mane is I think he's the only rapper that I can think of outside of, you know, the greats, Jay-Z's and them, that can transform. Like men don't have transformations or eras and stuff like that, but I feel like Gucci did.
And he's changing with the times.
Yeah.
And one thing I appreciate is that a lot of the rappers don't know how to connect with the Lils. You know,
right.
Like the young.
He works with all of them.
But he works with all of them. Mm-hmm. And he says it. The music has changed because of them, and I'm just changing with it. You know, if this is what the sound is now, then I have to figure out how Gucci fits into that sound.
Why hate?
Migos, Lil Yachty, 21 Savage, the list goes on of the new
Ray
people.
Ray Sherman,
of just the
Riley
new people.
He's been...
I was waiting for it. You always find a way.
The worst part is I was about to start playing. I said, don't. And I couldn't think of that little white girl name, luckily. What's the white girl from Love Hip Hop? Hollywood?
Chanel West Coast?
Yeah.
Oh,
oh
my
gosh,
Chanel Chest Cold. Oh, snorting ass. You get on my nerves.
So, yes, this has been Gucci Mane Appreciation Segment.
I love it. You took it back to, the junior high school book report. So remember, you had to pick a topic and find
Gucci. Gucci Mane defined the new Atlanta sound. Well, Atlanta sound when it was coming up. Because I remember, So Def, Jermaine Dupri, that was the stuff that I was growing up on. And then, there's that debate, that whole thing that happened with the Gucci Jeezy, whose Icy came first. But there were a lot of songs in Atlanta where shit like that was happening. It was kind of like when the Snap movement was happening, there were a lot of people that were dropping their, there was a lot of Atlanta lingo, and I'm not even sure why I would say any of this. But, how city girls say tighten up. Tighten up, I remember that being code in Atlanta back in 2005. Back when, people would do their dances at Pool Palace and all that stuff, people would come out with dances in their squad names, K-Squad, Ben Hill Squad, and then they would try to be like, we made this song first, Bubblegum, or Laffy Taffy was the track that came out, and so then people had tracks called Bubblegum, and then all the heads came out, there was Bobblehead, it was a lot. But this is just Atlanta history, very niche history for those who were not really in the hood where all the things were good.
Cute.
So if anyone ever wants me to pull my A card, I will be more than happy to slap that bitch on the table all day. Back when Titty Boy was Titty Boy. Thank you
Titty
so much.
Titty Boy, what a name.
What a name. So let's get into the listens lately. Tell me what you've been listening to.
Oh, shit, I thought that was it.
Oh, well, we can move on.
I gotta work. Let me go for my phone.
You ain't gotta go to work. You just gotta pull up your title.
I've been listening to the Coco soundtrack.
Oh, God. Why y'all trying to get me to watch that movie?
Remember me. It's so cute. That movie, you've got to see.
I'm not watching.
No,
not yet.
You've got to.
Well, whenever
to.
I
just
feel like feelings.
Just don't watch it on a flight because.
Whenever I feel like feelings.
Right. So, I forget where I was. I was somewhere in Brooklyn and this song comes on and I was like, what is this? Thank God for Shazam. All these apps that help you figure out what songs are. There's an artist named Mad. M-A-A-D.
Oh, Mademoiselle?
Is that the
is she a rapper, but she's singing? She's like a singer-rapper?
I don't think she's a rapper. She's a model-turned-singer. And the thing is, I remember her. As soon as Shazam pulled up her face, I was like,
let me see.
I remember her from MySpace, but she had a different name. Her name was like Natasha or Tasha something. She's beautiful. She's a model. See?
Is I that, like Mad better.
It's fresh,
catchy,
right?
Yeah.
So here for it. So the song that came up was called Black Ice. And y'all, it is so cute. I don't know if it'll play.
She's Mad as her act?
Yes.
Yeah, that's Mad. Yeah. I didn't know she was still making music.
Okay. I know. Do you remember her from MySpace or no?
I met her through Latasha in Dope Files like 8 or 9 years ago.
That's what I'm saying. She's been working.
Yeah.
Like, I remember her.
Yeah. Hey.
Right?
Getting dressed music.
You know, and then when I went to look it up, obviously, she has a whole EP and it's called Le Funk and it's dope. Like every song, she even has a song with Ro James, which you know we love Ro James and it's good.
Yes.
The whole project is good. I tweeted about her and a couple people were like, yo, she been dope. She been working. She been putting out music. But I just couldn't believe that I remember her from MySpace. I was like, yo, that's wild.
That's great to see.
Because
though.
There are artists like her who people be like, oh, she's an overnight sensation. And people don't realize these people have been putting in work.
Yeah,
SZA.
Hello?
Right? So that was dope. I totally fell into a rabbit hole with her music. Why are you laughing?
I found an interview of her and Tasha back in 2011.
See? Working. I've been listening to a lot of Afrobeat. Mm-hmm. I went back into Afrobeat. London Town, Mr. Easy.
Mm-hmm.
Who else? Burna Boy. I've just been falling into a whole rabbit hole of Afro beats. Y'all know how I feel. Oh, techno, of course, Wizkid. Apparently he just sold out like the O2, is that what it's called, the O2
arena.
He just sold it out, which
that's
is
huge.
Like monumental. Him and the whole lineup was Afrobeat artists.
That's
Malik,
so
shout out to Malik Berry. Y'all know I love him,
because yes.
Every project he puts out, I'm like thirsty after it on Twitter as soon as he drops the links. He was on the lineup. And what I loved about it was that Wizkid brought his folks. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He brought, like, I think 5 other Afrobeat artists to the O2 Arena to share in this monumental moment of African music taking over. And
hell
I was
yeah.
like, that's so fly. Y'all know I love the whole ecosystem mentality. So seeing that, go to Wizkid's Instagram and see the images that his photographer took of behind him with the whole stadium in front of him. Yo,
filled.
Epic,
damn.
Epic, epic. Everyone with their phone, like the light, you know, when it looks like lighters.
Yeah.
Just dope. I love it. I love it. So I've been in an Afrobeat mode. What about you, Dustin?
So there was this song they played on Queen Sugar last week.
I need to catch up.
Yeah, when Nova was going through a moment, and it's really dope. I think you say this girl's name. I think it's Say Nabo Say. But she's really dope. Peep game.
So you say all you wanna be is remember.
Sold.
I'll make you go down in history.
You gonna love her.
So you say all you wanna be is remember.
That's Ooh. Enough for that. But yeah, it's dope as hell. I love that song. I also have been totally on an old school vibe listening to The New Birth, which I don't care, but this is my shit right here.
Yes.
I picture Dustin with a robe.
Oh yeah,
and a cigar and house shoes.
Baby,
and some whiskey.
No idea, but yeah. So I've been listening to The New Birth. What else? Big Bank. I also went down a Jagged Edge rabbit hole.
Oh,
shout out to my boy Mello, who put me on this really dope song by Mac Miller, believe it or not, called Objects in the Mirror.
There is because I went through a Mac Miller thing this weekend too.
I didn't even know. I didn't know that all that was available to go through, but now I'm on board. He was performing it live over in the UK, I think it was. And you know, I love like a raspy, raw vocal, and the way he was like performing this song, it really connected with me. And actually, after I was finished with it, I went and listened to Rihanna's Higher on her Anti album.
Oh,
it had a total moment. So that's it. I could go on and on, but an episode can only be so long.
Amen. Before we go, because I was in the six, I was listening to like a lot of people from Toronto just to see what the feel was. So everybody, I need you to go check out Jessie Reyes. She's been putting in a lot of work. She had a song called Figures, and then she re-released it with Daniel Caesar, who I don't know if y'all canceled him or not. I think y'all did.
I
don't know if he's back.
We gotta check the roster.
I can't damn keep up. Anyway, she dropped a new single called Body Count, and she's just super fucking dope. I really love her. Her EP was called Kiddo, and that was the one that had Figures on it, but Body Count is the newest track, and she also has a song with Calvin Harris called Hard to Love, and I fucking love that song.
It's good. I like the title.
Friend.
Oh, it's not a party record.
No, she's not that girl.
Shocked me. You said Calvin Harris.
That's me.
I don't like to talk, but I love to sing. And I don't smoke, but I love to drink. I'm paranoid, I don't miss a thing. But I'm still nice, at least that's what I think. Fall in love.
Like she got them avocados.
Avocados.
And she goes up. She's got literally all the avocados in her mouth. I'm not playing with you, because on the other song, Figure, she's like, Figure. That's how she starts off.
You know SZA's injured.
Yes, and I'm mourning. That's why I'm wearing the shirt.
And I'm dead at all of y'all who tagged me under the post with avocado emojis. Y'all are...
What?
I was like, please stop. Please don't do that. Because people would be like, why is everyone tagging Fred?
What the fuck?
The avocado and banana emojis.
What is wrong with y'all listening? Why did y'all do that? Why did y'all do that?
I showed Maya and she was crying. She was like, y'all are terrible people.
Savage.
No, but all jokes aside, that's really sad. I hope
that's
it's something. I mean, I know with vocal injuries, there's rehab, you know? It just takes a while to get it back in shape. So hopefully her fans are understanding. You know, fans are like rough with stuff like that.
Yeah.
And let her get her time up to get it fixed,
you know,
instead of like rushing.
I'm one of those fans, and I wish a lot of more people would adopt this mentality. A lot of people put out music, so
there's so much else to listen.
If SZA had like a year or two to heal, and then in that time wrote a awesome surefire like hit ass album like this was, because this album right here, I have passes of albums and tracks that I can listen to and still get up with.
Yeah.
But like, this is a great project. So I would rather wait for her to heal herself completely and go through like a breakup or whatever else she got to go through doing it. And then write up some dope ass fire ass songs and give me a bomb ass album than her pushing out steroids to keep singing the same songs.
Right. And then it does long term damage, which is why a lot of our icons can't sing anymore, and then y'all make fun of them.
Yes,
and when then they try,
and then they get addicted to other drugs, and then you making fun of them because they can't get their life together, and it's because y'all ain't being fans, and y'all dragging them all the damn time.
Yeah, and I know she must be scared because that is probably the scariest thing for your doctor to tell you, especially right before a tour.
Man, at this point in her career, when she's like
still
experiencing
so early,
like professional highs,
right?
You know, like,
yeah. So everyone send good energy to her.
Praying for SZA.
Yeah,
everybody play Garden.
SZA.
Oh, yes. We should all play SZA music.
SZA, go sit your ass down, drink some tea. Don't talk to nobody about nothing
except your grandma.
Play except your grandma. Let her do all the talking and impart some more wisdom on you.
Everyone listening, play a SZA song right now.
Garden. For, you know.
Outside of that, outside of Jesse Reyes, Anders out of Toronto was really dope. He makes Toronto music, like the whole, like
the audacity.
He sounds like
what's his name? Anders?
Yep. Anderson, just no O-N.
Got you.
And then the last person I've been listening to also from the six is Ebony, but it's E-B-H-O-I-O-N-I. Excuse me.
She has what the fuck is her name?
E-B-H. E-B-H-O-N-I.
Ebony. Ebony.
Ebony.
Sure.
Ebony.
All right. So she has a song out too called Ops. And I think this is her only song, but it's R&B. It's cute.
Girl, you know you was dead wrong. Late nights talking on the phone. Give me a rest.
So yeah, somebody new out of Toronto, or somebody working out of Toronto, I should say. So that's what I've been listening to since I was out there in the six.
And remember I mentioned a rapper. I actually played a piece of it, and both of y'all was like, ooh, her name was Tierra Whack.
Yeah.
She had like a super vibey.
Did you see the video?
I was just about to ask you. She put out a visual, and it's dope. It's like a short film.
Yeah, it's like
dope as hell.
Yeah, and it's
she
called
did
Whack.
Monet.
Yeah, it's called Whack World, but she spells it obviously W-H-A-C-K. World. You guys gotta go on YouTube and check it out. I just love it. She's experimental, she's playing around.
Yeah, it's
and
cool.
The fact that she's new coming into the, like, well, let me not say that, because it's just like mad. We don't know how long she's been putting in work. But this is clearly her momentum, her moment right now, because people are taking note. I'm seeing her name everywhere, and it's cool because we just talked about her, and I love it. She's creative. It was such a cool video. Check it out. It's on YouTube right now. Whack World, Tierra Whack, T-I-E-R-R-A.
That was one of the best decisions I'd made. Because, you know, I just go on YouTube, and right before I smoke, I'm like, let me put some videos to the side to watch.
Yeah.
And then I was watching it, and I was high, so I was like, this is a long-ass video. And then I realized it was
a short film. I love it, though. So definitely check her out.
It was the shit, man.
Yeah.
Cool-ass concepts.
And that's it.
All right, so without further ado, we will move it on over to the TV land. Dustin Ross, please take it away.
Okay, so a couple things this week. First of all, The Real Housewives of Potomac has been really interesting. The third season is taking place right now. We're kind of deep in. We may be on episode 10. I can't really remember. But there's a new cast member named Candace, who is a pageant queen with a very overbearing mother, a cool husband, and she's just got a lot of things to say. And she has really, 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 really big hair. Like, I mean, like, they must have given her French braids the size of wire hangers and put a whole track on each one of them motherfuckers, because it's like her hair is just, it almost looks like the curls are swollen.
Pageant.
So I watched this show, and I see all of these women who are discussing other women's style and the things that they're wearing and, you know, their presentation, and everything is, oh, you know, well, let me sit down. I want to spend on this $4,000 gown. And then you look at it, and it literally looks like the silks that the circus performers go up and twirl around in.
What?
And so I just...
It'd be so specific.
So for Potomac, for me, it's just been a... It's hard to watch The Real Housewives of Potomac outside of it being, you know, generically entertaining because they just need a stylist. That's just the bottom line. Like, everybody on the show, I know it's a regional thing or whatever the fuck, and, you know, style is personal and all that, but the Real Housewives of Potomac, for them to be very braggadocious, third season reality television vets, I just think it's time for some sort of evolution and accountability when it comes to personal style, because they just don't have any accountability. And the very person, they don't. They wear any damn thing. And when I say anything, I know it might sound like, oh, God, he's picking apart, you know, their clothing choices. No, I'm not.
Right. He right.
I'm serious. Right. This is like extreme OD ornamental, like, I don't even know how to describe, like,
Monique,
like,
has tacky. Five houses. Monique has five houses, and she was the one that had on this expensive ass dress, making the statement about spilling something on it. And in my mind, I'm thinking, like, you have all these houses and you still pick the simple dress, and it costs how much? Okay. All right.
And it would be different if, like, when you watch the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, you know, and even Atlanta, you know, and they reference wealth or they reference, you know, like, whatever, it's kind of validated by, you know, some of the things that you see. And
mind
in this
you.
Case, these are just claims. It just feels like claims because they keep saying how they have these multi-million dollar net worths and all this stuff. And then they're sitting up there literally looking like Nefertiti.
You should see Monique's ponytail.
I'm just saying.
She always does the...
Like gutter snipes?
I don't want to say it's the upgradey ponytail because it's definitely not. But she sometimes tries to
ponytail.
Do it.
You know how many times I've tried it?
Yeah, but it's cute when you can do it.
But I could even take like that better than, like, I don't know. Like I said, it's just something that you have to see to believe. So,
yeah, because you were spot on when you talked about how Giselle was country before. Like,
I told you. And literally is the main one. They say the reason that I'm being critical of their appearance, let me be clear, is because they do things like Giselle did. They come on TV and, you know, they say, well, you know, I literally last week, Candace, the new girl who I like, she clowned Giselle's jacket. She's like, she's sitting over there with your sequins and camouflage on. Giselle literally, now this is someone who, Giselle acts as if it is just incredibly ridiculous that anyone even challenge her in conversation. Why are you even addressing me? I'm fucking Giselle Bryant. Like, this doesn't even make sense for us to even be in conversation. That's how she acts. So when somebody like Lil' O' Candace, the new girl in the box, flames you by saying, you know, you saw her sequins and that camouflage shit on, you respond by saying, I look good. That's what we're not going to debate. When you respond like that, but you literally look tacky. Like, you literally look like...
And I'm sure that you think that you do.
Oh, my God. Like, it is so blatantly and offensively tacky. And then for them to make those claims, that's what makes it okay to have an opinion about it. Because it's like, first of all, no, you're not. And the fact that you think you are is what the problem is. And so it's really making it hard to watch. Moving on. And other Bravo-related news, Quad from Married to Medicine. She filed for divorce from her husband, Dr. G. There's been all sorts of messy headlines that have hit all the news outlets.
Not clapping.
I'm sorry. Congratulations, Ms. Quad, on this new chapter and this new journey that you are about to embark on. I just hated the way that he was playing her on that last season. I don't know their marriage enough, but I just did not like that. I know Quad is a lot, so.
So, like, right now, the headlines have hit the news that are saying that she left the marital home and took, I mean, everything, like the washer and dryer, everything. Like, she pulled up and pulled
it
out.
Dr. G don't use it anywhere.
And so he has now filed a countersuit alleging that she violated something called the, I can't remember the name of the law, but it's some random domestic law, abiding law or whatever, where he wants all the items returned. It's just getting really bad and ugly. And word on the curb is, and I'm bringing this up because you all know Married to Medicine is very close to my heart. It's one of my favorite shows. And we talk about it often on here. So, hell, who don't want to update, right? Especially when it's juicy like this. So, apparently, the woman who it was revealed that he took to a hotel room last year, there was allegedly an interaction. They lied about the fact that they didn't fuck, basically.
Yeah.
I think it kind of got back to Quad, and now we all know she's very absolute in her feelings about, you know, there being no place for infidelity within her marriage, and baby, she has hit it.
Wow.
So I watched Sister Circle TV, the talk show that she's a panelist on,
And her disposition has been one that conveys that there's some sort of personal trauma going on and turmoil going on.
Oh, really?
And every time they bring up niggas or men on the show, she always be like, because they weak. That's what the problem is. Talk about it. And then she pulls herself back together.
Damn.
I say it to say Married to Medicine is going to be good. Dr. Jackie was walking up and down the sidewalk this morning on Instagram. And she always does this thing where she promotes, like, confidence. And so she takes these, like, walks, you know, like her shit don't stink towards the camera and back away. It's hilarious. So she was doing that this morning. I can tell they're in full filming mode. Also,
She's doing the delicious.
I just want to speak really quickly about my love for Star on Fox.
Yes, please.
This show has just, although campy, although, you know, music related, and, you know, there are moments where it feels corny, you know, for lack of a better word. Star is an amazing show. I'm completely fascinated with all of these storylines. I love the fact that Queen Latifah wears, you know, snapback wigs. I think that this is just fascinating to see.
Stunned. I wasn't even able to react quick enough.
I love the music. I love all the performers. It's just great. Wigs.
I'm still there.
Mm-hmm. Evan Ross is being a tough guy. He delivers all his lines with his chest poked out. It's literally great, right?
So the music is good. Is it Dark Child?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or is it Brian Michael Cox?
I thought it was B. Cox, but I'm not sure.
It might be Brian Michael Cox.
Oh, maybe Dark Child does Empire?
He did take over Empire, because remember, originally it was Timbaland.
Oh,
and
got
Dark
you.
Child took that over. It is Brian
Michael
Cox.
I saw Dark Child on one of the credits, but I couldn't remember which show it was. The music on Star is what saves the campiness, because there are some scenes where you know how you feel it. You're like, oh, this is about to break out in song. And it makes you be like, oh, God. But then the song is good.
You lose time to develop the scenes and the storylines because it is a music-related show.
Right.
So the performance scenes take away from that. That's why sometimes I feel like they be rushing a little bit with the emotions. Like, I got to be mad as hell right now, and then I got to get over in like 6 seconds, and you got to believe it so we can get to the next song. But that being said, it's so goddamn good. So since the season finale was a couple weeks ago, we had a guest. We haven't had a chance to talk about it. I just want to issue just a couple predictions for next season.
Oh, wait, and before we do that, can I just tell you how Carrie's Corner has ruined the song, I Bring Me, because he always tweets, I bring weave. So I cannot say that every time they start singing it.
Shout out to Carrie, man.
Carrie, you Musical ruined genius. The song for me.
I bring weave. It's hilarious. he tweets that in all caps every week.
I bring weave.
So what do you think? We're all caught up, right? Mm-hmm. What do you guys think as far as next season? Now, you know, the show went out with a plane crash, and on the plane was Cotton, her son, Cotton's son, Alexandria was on that plane back to New York.
The plane
crash went down. There were several things that took place on this episode. I predict that Cotton's baby is not going to make it through the plane crash. I think Cotton and Alexandria, of course, will make it. I predict that next season. So the issue is going to be that Star and Alex's solo careers are taking off, and they feel guilt and regret because of that. I think that Simone is going to go AWOL, and people are going to have to look for her. I foresee Carlotta having a love interest and being distracted from Take Six. That's a gospel group. Take Three. Because the girls are going to split up. And I think that's going to make Carlotta go her own way.
Dang.
I do. And I'm just really looking forward to next season. Do you guys have any predictions for the next season?
I feel like Simone... Something is going to shift, because that's what always happens. She's going to be the plot twist and end up blowing up and totally leaving
the other ones
in the dust, which is going to be unexpected, because right now it looks like she's over it and she's kind of like the one that's getting the least attention. But something is going to shift, especially, you know, with all the changes with like her husband and you know what I mean? So, yeah, I feel like that's what's going to happen.
I'm excited.
Do you guys like Luke James on the show?
He's a great singer. He really can sing his ass off.
And his character makes decisions that are so frustrating to watch because it's like, you know, the right choice is like right there. You know what I mean? And you're like, nigga, if you just would just stop, would you just pull it together? I do not like him, Noah, and Alex dating.
No.
I don't know. Oh, who else is on the plane? Quincy's character. Remember, he went to the airport and he said, "My girl is on that plane.
Oh, Jesus.
I need the last five because he fell out with his grandma."
On this plane? Mm-hmm. And you know what I do think is cool, that Luke James and the other actor from New Edition, they're both in this show together.
Oh yeah,
that's
great. Me too. Even though he's a punk, he gets on my nerves on that show. He really
can. We talk about Brandy being a G on this?
My God,
I can't take it.
Yes,
and even Patti LaBelle, the OG on the block. That's
they
so
had me
funny.
Laughing. When Patti LaBelle came over, oh, what's the tea? That was hilarious. I was cracking up. Brandy is really, I have always said that Brandy is like a very talented actor.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, she can act her ass off. And she's really stepped, seeing her play such a brazen and bold role, you know, it's such
so
a departure
out of her
from
element,
her.
She's doing a great job, though.
She's doing good. So that's it on Star. Basketball Wives. It's back. I talked about it a couple weeks ago. I'm definitely still watching it. It's still good to see Evelyn and Jennifer together being, you know, just hell on wheels together, harassing everybody, starting all kind of shit, and then, you know, throwing the rock and hiding their hands. Then you have the new girls who are doing anything just to be relevant and get scene time.
Oh,
and
they're new girls.
Oh, yeah.
Always new girls.
I know.
They always need some new
That's
blood
the
in there.
Having stupid arguments, going into scenes and filming scenes, just feeling like, well, I ain't gonna let nobody play me, punk me, you know, like that's their thing. So now they argue about the
you need
most
to check her
insignificant things, and it's just draining to watch. It's even more draining because you then have these great scenes of these relevant arguments that are deeply rooted in this series all the way back to season one between Tammy and Evelyn, between Jennifer and Tammy, between all our season two, excuse me, when Tammy came in. As Evelyn said, and I quote, "with a busted ass wig and a fanny pack like when we first met you."
Wowza.
Yeah. So the beef and the arguments are rooted in those types of issues, and it's just so great to watch. I love the fact that Evelyn and Tammy hate each other. It makes fascinating TV.
Especially those two. They're so fiery. Mm-hmm.
And I remember a lot of things about Tammy Roman, and I remember a lot of things about Evelyn Lozada, and I definitely have picked a side. I'm on Evelyn's side.
Okay.
I do recognize where some of the things that Jennifer is doing are problematic for Tammy, but I just don't care because I feel like Tammy and Jennifer bonded in misery a few years ago when Jennifer and Evelyn had fallen out. And I had very strong opinions back then about the way that Evelyn handled that. To me, when you're friends with someone and you have a disagreement and fallout, as I always say, there's just certain levels of disrespect and, you know, like nastiness that you just don't go to out of respect. And Evelyn went there. She hit, you know, a toast to, when we say that, when we talk about, I want to give a toast to loyalty, that's a direct reference to Evelyn disrespecting Jennifer and following that up with a hit to the head with her clutch. She hit Jennifer in the head that day.
Yes,
that day. You meant now.
No. They're friends now, and it's so good to watch, even though all that happened. And I bring all that up because I used to really feel like Evelyn was wrong, and, you know, Jennifer was a person who didn't deserve that or whatever. Jennifer's been showing her ass since episode one of this latest season, encouraging mess, telling people what other people have said, and having an opinion about it afterward. And then when the person, usually Tammy's truck driving hand having ass, usually she comes over there, you know, Tammy got them CDL hands, them truck driving school hand. Tammy looked like she went to the school. You know how they had a commercial on TV when you be off from school during the day, and they had a commercial on TV for like the trade programs, you know, and truck driving school. Tammy got them hands like she went. But anyway,
yo,
it's
so
usually
specific,
I'm telling you.
It's usually at the hands of Tammy.
The truck driving hands.
Hand over hand turning ass. Because, you know, a truck drive, the semi's got them big ass steering wheels. The circumference looks like a fucking condor's wingspan. So, you know, Tammy's long arm having that stretch arm strong.
Cannot stop
hand over hand.
Blue right now.
Turning.
No, you didn't.
okay, driving in an old pair of them black restaurant shoes with the back heel broke down. Some lace-up shoes that she just stuck her foot in and stepped on the back heel. That's what she drives the truck in. Again, we're talking about Tammy Roman. It's not a stretch, you know. And so, but again, like when Jennifer, back to my point, when Jennifer gets into those conversations where she's checked by somebody like Tammy, she cowers down. It's never confrontational. It's, hey, boo, 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 we friends. Everybody should be not friends, boo, whatever. Boo, boo. But when the new girls have an issue with her, a relevant, valid issue, I should say, it becomes, I'm going through something, and you ain't going to be bringing this to me. And it's very aggressive and heated. I don't like that. I don't like people like that. You should keep that same energy every time you feel disrespected, not just when you feel like you can disrespect in return.
Right.
I don't like that. And so that being said, I do hope that Tammy Roman's Wrangler jean, carpenter jean wearing ass. I do hope that she, I hope that Tammy Roman gets Jennifer and holds her accountable for what she's done. Jackie Christie is a filthy, bubbling, over stinking mess. Everything she does, and it's hard to
They're all on this show?
Yeah. What? It's hard to speak
of Jackie Marie Christie, Doug Christie's wife.
I'm a boss. I have businesses.
What you mean?
Jackie Christie is back on the show, back up to her old antics. She talks about these conflicts as if they are the most unforgivable, egregious things that she's ever encountered. And then when she comes face to face with the person who she's in the conflict with, it's, well, I mean, I'm willing to move forward if you want to move forward, because she really wants to be accepted by all these women. She really wants to be friends with these women underneath it all, but she wants them to accept her as a bad bitch. She wants them to accept her as a peer and an equal and someone that they really feel is of a certain standard. And unfortunately, she ain't and they don't.
Right.
So then she finds a hard time bonding and getting along with these women, and we end up with these ridiculous ass arguments. We do. Mm. So I'm tired of Jackie Christie. She sat up there and like she looked like, Atlanta. Yeah, she looked like she was doing, she looked like, she, and we'll get there, but she looked like she was doing Rhythm Nation on ice. She had on a black jeweled catsuit.
On ice. Thank yeah. you for seeing me.
She had on a black.
Because y'all never believe.
She had on a black fitted full body catsuit
yes.
that had like silver embellishments and rhinestones on it, and
how
it looked
sexy.
Literally like if they were doing a Icecapades version of like the Rhythm Nation video. It was exactly what the outfit would look like. And she wore that in the confessional. Mind you, Jackie is literally like 60 some years old. Like real shit. And so it's just for her to even be attempting to do this, she's always making these like pseudo lesbian references as if, and I sometimes feel like she kind of just uses and exploits all the gay shit to be controversial, and you know that's the first thing that make me hate the fuck out of somebody. So I've just been watching that and I just don't agree with it. And then she brings in her friends. Her friends are always the ones with the problem. Sunday Carter was a classic example of somebody who we could have gone without, but Sunday. We were forced to have to deal with it because of Jackie Christie.
She
says it the way her name is spelled. I couldn't stand Sunday Carter. It sounded like her nose had a clothespin on it every time she talked. I could not Everybody stand her. She was the dirt bag that made those references to Brandy's cancer and like didn't care about it or whatever. And that's why she ended up getting her ass popped in the face and a black eye. But my point in bringing up Sunday Carter, and I'm going to let all this go. I'm going to let all this go.
Let it go.
But my point in bringing up Sunday Carter is that Jackie always brings the worst possible people to the show as her friends. Mm. And she's done it again this season. She brought this girl, OG, who I'll just leave it there because y'all will watch the show. So make sure you tune in.
Dang.
I don't want to see nothing about Shawnee and all them kids. I don't know why she thinks that we view her as, you know, this mom that we want to look into her home life and da da da. We don't give a damn about Shawnee and all them kids. You
is
got too many kids. She's got a spinoff already.
Oh, okay.
And it comes on right afterward, and they show commercials the whole time, and I don't want to see nothing about it. I don't want to see no commercial, no promo, no mention, no nothing. I don't care nothing about Shawnee and all them kids.
I don't either.
I don't want to watch that. I don't. They're not interesting. It's paint dry. I don't. So then the last thing that I want to discuss, the Queen Supreme Court has been hilarious.
Oh, that's right.
Shekinah Joe was back on there. And what made it refreshing about Shekinah Joe being on there was that she understood the tone of the humor of the show. Now, if you know what I'm talking about, you know. If you don't, you'll know as I speak. But there's a certain tone to the humor that T.S. Madison has as part of the Queen Supreme Court. There's things that take place. There's an order of the show when it comes to the jokes.
Is it a revolving door still of guests?
Right now, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
which has been entertaining.
Mm.
But what I've noticed is that some people get it and some people don't. Which, for example, every time the show starts, she plays the intro music, she dances, then she plays the intro music again, and she starts pouring her alcoholic beverage. This week, this girl was on there or whatever, and while Madison was pouring her drink, everybody knows Madison pours a whole bunch of liquor in a glass and while saying, just a splash, but she's putting an excessive amount of liquor. Why are you telling her, that's too much, grabbing the bottle? You fucking up the joke. You know what I'm saying? My point in saying this is, moving forward, everybody that's coming to sit in that chair, if you don't know the lay of the land, just because you're funny and don't give a damn what comes off your side. Right. And know when to interrupt and when not. I hate it when people fuck the joke up.
Would you go on there as a guest host?
Yeah.
You would?
I would do that.
You guys.
For the culture. I would do it for the culture.
Somebody tell T.S.
Yes.
I would do it for the culture.
That would be so cute.
It would be great and we would fuck it up. You already know. But you have to understand, and the reason it would be good is because I understand the tone of the show.
So
certain things
perfectly.
You know. So shout out to Shekinah Joe, because Shekinah understood the tone of the show.
Right.
So much so that everybody knows T.S. Madison shakes her breast at the beginning of the show. It's something that means, you know, just being bold, in your face. We're going to have an opinion tonight. That's the way the show is based. So sometimes people get that, sometimes they don't. Shekinah Joe got it, because she was literally, the way that she was playing with her boobs and like putting them in the camera, it just was perfect. And when people get the humor, we know the history of this show. And so it's so refreshing when people understand the tone and the humor and can blend well with that. While we're on the internet, I just want to mention one last thing that I have been watching, and I think you all have as well. Chasing Atlanta.
Yes, I cannot get enough.
Fresh no, friggin' Lena.
I cannot.
We're not going to go too deep because it's literally not deep, you know? So I just want to say that I am thoroughly entertained.
I'm a boss.
I want to help people. I'm thoroughly entertained. And all of them are just these brazen entrepreneurs who, you know, don't care about anything other than the next argument. And I think it is so fascinating that they literally get in front of the camera and go, you know, every time we see each other, it's always a problem and it's drama and a powwow. And I'm just so sick of all the drama and everybody always having an issue. So I just want to get everybody together, sit them down
and
talk about it. That's literally.
I don't even know why.
Oh, my God. You say you're tired of having these conversations.
And you're having another.
I want to just get everybody together so we can just sit down and get all the issues out. Here we are again.
So didn't we just do this?
That is the funny. But, you know, I think of the like the Basketball Wives and all of them, it's the same thing.
Yeah,
if you remove the so-and-so got to talk to so-and-so about a problem they're having with so-and-so, I always wonder what's the storyline that's left.
Yeah.
I just always...
For real, though.
I at the very least think that it's a funny representation of, you know, since we're recycling these formulas, but now we get to see it with young gay Atlanta.
Like, that show is
like
funny.
Young gay Atlanta,
right.
Because they are young and you can tell that they are young by the shit that they talk about and how they even interact about certain things. Like, that is some young bullshit.
But none of them are from there, right?
I mean, not that I know.
I think that's the premise, that they all,
yeah, they're
like
all like new, moving there from,
yeah,
for like a dream.
They're all transplants and they're chasing Atlanta, like trying to figure out how to navigate the space.
You're so kind. He's so kind. You know damn well it's just a bunch of people that want to be on camera and was with the shits, and you know they could figure out a way to be a boss. I'm in the industry. I got business. I'm a boss.
I
just want to help people. You know what I'm saying? That's what everybody on the show is, a boss that wants to help people.
Ooh.
And they all in the industry.
I'm gonna put bitches to work.
Yeah, and so it's just, but it is wildly entertaining.
Montel, you're my favorite. I love your face.
Lyric is my favorite.
I
like that Montel likes to fight.
I love
Montel. So
Montel's
I identify
face.
With that. I think that Divine is funny. And that, you know, that's about where the buck stops for me.
I think I genuinely only like Jalen. Just because you could tell he's...
Jalen's hair is
You can tell
so
that he is
nice.
Just
Jalen is funny.
And like,
he makes me laugh he's in his funny, confessionals when he's talking about the other people. It's funny. He makes good jokes.
He's the most authentically stank. Like, you know, there are, like, right. levels to stankness. Like, for him, like, you know, Sky, he just goes from, like, 0 to 10. Like his stankness is, like, it's not even a stank. It's just I'm a fight. Like, it's like you could just be stanking, hate a bitch, and keep it moving. But he just goes, no, good. But you bitches, you are not going to try me. I'm going to teach you bitches.
Drunk. I think Sky is just a Taurus. You got to, like, push us to get to that point, but we don't just be like that.
I think he
but Jalen
I feel like he has a lot of shit going on, and like he tries to talk about it, and since he don't always talk about all of it, we just be seeing him pop off because he looks and seems real cool and calm, but it's just like every time I've seen him, he is popped off and want to pop a bitch.
So funny.
I like Skylar because I really feel like he don't be wanting to do the mess, but then he be keeping it like all going. Like his friends be trying to hold him back and everything, he's like no, because once he start, he don't stop.
Someone in the comments was like, I would love to see Sky's hat collection. Yo, every episode, every scene.
For every occasion.
Right.
Young Papoose in this motherfucker. But like, I mean, you know, it's just something that it's a guilty pleasure. So we're all watching.
Yes, we are.
And can't wait for the reunion. Last year they was getting it in at the reunion. Shout out to my nigga Davon. Well, that's not my nigga, but he makes me laugh on that show. So. You know, that's it. Hilarious. Chasing Atlanta. I watch every Wednesday. So that's it for TV, you guys. Let's wrap this shit up.
All right. Well, before we move on to our next segment, just don't forget to email us at thefriendzoneatloudspeakersnetwork.com with all of your questions, comments, concerns. And I wanted to actually, because we took such a long break, I wanted to read something that somebody sent us. Shout out to Max from out in Chicago. He was at the Friend Zone Live Chicago show. He came up and he asked us about, you know, his brunch that he was doing, how to promote it and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He wrote in and he said he wants to thank us for the advice on overcoming his challenges of curating the event and for allowing him to plug his event. The event was sold out and it was so dope. He had a few people from the live show come through and it was great energy. So
it was really nice. He tagged me and I was like, oh my God, the people looked great. He looked great. The venue was really nice.
That's what's up.
Yeah, that shit looked dope. And I just wanted to be sure that I want to shout that out because it's dope that when we come to different cities that we get to interact with you guys. And that was a situation where we got to help somebody with something that they were doing. So it's dope whenever you guys are at places and you connect and you're like, oh yeah, Friend Zone Squad.
Word.
So see y'all in L.A.
Time. Right, LA.
Okay, so see you in LA. Don't know who you're gonna connect with or what you can plug and promote. That don't mean come to the show and plug and promote everything now, because you know somebody might be like, "Well, let me shout out." I'm like, hold up. I just had to be clear. With that said, this is the end of the episode. Okay, damn. Okay, so the subject for this week's email is having dreams is a motherfucker. Hey guys, I recently turned 20 and I've been in a weird spot lately. I had a rough go of things last year and honestly it's left me feeling like a shell of myself. Oddly enough though, it's left me even more motivated to follow my dreams. It's a weird trade-off, I know, but follow me. Ever since the turn of the year, I've been studying music. Whether it be legends I've been meaning to get to know, I just listened to Illmatic for the first time 4 years ago. So clearly I have a bunch to catch up on. Mm-hmm. Or learning how to mix and master beats and record songs. My question is, have you ever been scared of your own potential? I feel as if the sky's the limit and that scares me. As much as I've been pushing on to study my craft and learn from the culture's legends, it frightens me to know how far I can go with this. I don't want to come off as bragging about my skill or anything of the sort because I'm still in the very early stages, but I'm just so confident. I feel as if I can do anything and I've never felt like that before. When you guys were starting off in your careers, were you ever scared because you knew you couldn't do it? Or you knew you could do it? I hope it's not too weird of a question. Just asking. What do you guys think? Has there been a situation where you just felt like you were the shit and you just didn't know how not to be?
Hell nah, shit.
Yeah, I'm like trying to relate.
No, not at all. Anything that I want to be good at, I work at. So if I do feel confidence, it's based on me relying upon some sort of training that I've done or work that I've done. I've never felt like that.
Like out the gate.
Yeah.
No, yeah.
No.
That's a good problem to have.
Except for like sex.
Oh, God.
But that's different. You know what I'm saying? I don't think that's what they was talking about. Did you get like a sexual tone from the letter?
No, Dustin.
Yeah, I didn't see those hints of like, well, is it, you know, how you feel when it's time to fuck? I didn't get like those. So, you
Jesus.
Know.
No, I mean, it sounds like a great problem to have. Similar to Dustin, I've maybe knew I was good at something like with music. I knew I had a gift, a right. natural ability. And it was just a matter of honing in and making it stronger and undeniably good. But it never made me be like, I'm too good. I don't, you know, like where it's like, I'm scared of where that will take me. No, by the time I knew I was good, I was like, let's run. If anything, I was just scared of the people around me not being as good. You know what I mean? In their jobs, because that matters too. You don't make it by yourself. And that's the only part that scared me is, and that goes even now, like with work and creativity and collaborations, your team, what do they say? The weakest link, you know, like that is true. It won't break you, but it makes things harder when your team isn't putting as much of an effort as you are. So that was probably my only concern. It's never so much like, I know what I'm capable of. That's probably it, though. But it's never been a thing where I was scared of myself. No. Mm-mm. I can't relate.
I have been overwhelmed with thoughts of all of the potential of things I can do. So I think because you're like, I think I know the feeling because this is someone that's at the beginning stages of their training and they've been working. They're kind of like getting their, finding their foot in. They're like, okay, I'm nice. Like, I could really do some shit. And then you just start thinking of all the things you can do. And then you just kind of keep zooming out and think about all these endless possibilities. But I think as you continue to work and learn, it's going to hone in on what you really want to do and what you really are going to be doing. Because you're talking about making music, making beats. I think you're probably getting caught up in all this stuff. And you're like, oh, I could do all sorts of shit. But depending on what you're making music for, like anybody can have a good ass beat, but are you going to be able to have a good ass rapper or a good ass, like whatever it is, whatever you're making music or making beats for, you know, like there are just so many other components that go with being good. So I think that it's a good problem to have, but you also have to remember that it's only like one part of it. So if you feel like you're nice, keep feeling like you're nice and keep putting in that work as you go along the way. I think they're like, I was one of those people that when I would have an idea about something, it would just become like a really big idea and I would be zoomed all the way out and I would have to figure out how to like zoom into one thing or like make it really cohesive and make sense as opposed to just saying like, I got the whole world at my disposal, so I'm gonna just do all this shit. And I think that sometimes we get lost because we know we can do so much. So keep that excitement and that energy, but keep it where you at right now as you're learning and just be confident in all the shit that you're doing.
Or learn how to do hair. Oh my God. That's a great industry for somebody to feel like they shit don't stink. You know what I'm saying? Like a hairdresser, somebody like that, you want them to be confident like that. Like, oh no, I'm finna fuck your hair up. Like, I'm finna fuck it up. Like, you finna be out here, like, looking good. That's what you want. So maybe that's maybe cosmetology.
Well, they working in music, so you know, I know it's a hard ass industry. So feeling like your shit don't stink is probably gonna help you. Like, I mean, depending on how good you are, I'm not saying you need to treat people like your shit don't stink. But, you know, if you at the very least feel that way about your work and you can back it up with the work, then
that's the getcha gotcha right there. Because you got a bitch like Kim Zolciak.
That's why I'm telling him to keep putting his work in. That's why I'm telling him to keep.
Between me and you and what I don't know is how to sing, bitch. That's what you don't know how to do. Yeah. So confidence will get you sometimes. I don't know.
You ready for the Black Business of the Week?
Let's do it.
So I saw a tweet by a young lady named Kayla, but she goes by Layla Sh. But I'll spell it. It's LALAASSSH. And she is 21 years old with her own beauty supply that just opened.
Oh,
look
shit.
How cool.
Okay.
Right? And if you go on her Twitter,
She shows
a video of the aisles and what's on, because people were like, what do you sell? And so she was showing what their inventory is like. Obviously, she's just starting out, so be patient. But it looks great. It looks like she really has it stocked. I see a ton of beauty products, a ton of hair accessories and tools and wigs and bundles and packs. And it's at 821 Veterans Highway in Bristol, PA. Mm. So support her. The fact that she's 21, that is amazing. She looks like a little baby. And she shows video of her cutting the ribbon.
Kind of business.
Right?
I love it.
Cutting the ribbon to her store. So a black owned beauty supply, that's rare. Y'all know that.
Yeah. And one time for her, because I'm sure she played with several different options as far as what type of business to open. Mm-hmm. One time for her opening something for the culture.
Right. Where,
you know what I'm saying? A
yeah.
beauty supply. Black owned.
Right?
Please.
Black owned, woman owned. So Layla's Beauty Supply. 821 Veterans Highway in Bristol, PA. Once again, her at is LALAASSSH. Check her
Amen.
Out. Show her love. And yes. most importantly, stop by her store and spend money.
Yes.
And that's it for this week's Black Business. Do you guys have any church announcements?
I have a question before we do that.
Mm-hmm.
Do-rag, tail in or tail out? Tail tucked in or tail tucked out? Or like flowing?
Depends on where you are.
And the outfit.
Okay.
Why, is this for the show tomorrow?
No. it was a debate on my friend's show last week. And so in my mind, I was wondering. Mine is tail out. That's because I like all sorts of bullshit. Y'all remember I wore that flashy ass.
I'm from Harlem.
Big worm shit.
I like tail out when you're sleeping. Tail tucked in public. Because then you can do the whole, like, tuck and then tie the little thing on the side, which looks cute depending on where that your facial features is set up.
See, I am the one, I like a little bit of extravagance. So if it's like a yellow do-rag or like a, if I could find like a burnt orange do-rag.
I
or
love
sky
Mouse's
blue
silky the, red one. It's
yeah,
so pretty.
See, Mouse tail
one.
Out.
I want that floor length do-rag. Remember that video clip where that nigga had that floor length do-rag? I
a
want
do-rag
that.
A do-rag with a tail.
Yeah. Perfection.
Yes.
But
extravaganza.
As far as church announcements go, again, if it's Wednesday and you're listening to this, If I Were a Rapper tonight. Outside of that, check me out. I was on Hella Single podcast for Slay TV last week. I had a very great conversation with Lamont Baldwin. You can check that out now. You can actually check my social media. I've been posting this stuff. There's videos that go with it. So you don't even have to search for links. You can just go look at the video content and then find the links there. Life is so easy. I was also on Horrible Decisions podcast last week, which I believe I talked to. So shout out to Mandy and Weezy. And
shout
Weezy
out.
Will be at If I Were a Rapper tonight with Dustin. And it is the only time she will be getting her ass whooped by him in her life. And I hope she's excited for that. Outside of that, I will be on the West Coast in San Francisco with The Reed. I will be at the pop-up shop. And after that, you can catch me on the West Coast again that following weekend. But we'll get there next week. What about you, Fran?
Don't forget, LA, Los Angeles, June 16th, thefriendzonelive.com. Grab your tickets. We are so excited to see you. Toronto, my wellness retreat. We're taking a break for the summer because people have babies and need to spend time with them.
Okay.
Not me, but my team.
Yes.
So in August, I believe it is August 11th, we will be in Toronto, but the applications are already going out and the applications for the week-long retreat in the Dominican Republic will be posted next week. So get your coins together if you're interested in the bigger retreat that's coming up as well. Activationtour.com all of the information. Dustin, what you got coming up?
You know what? You can catch me out. You can check me out, okay? Because fuck that badass little girl that need her ass whooped. Her and little Tay.
She got Gucci flip-flops.
Yeah, in the store Gucci in the boutique. Gucci not what that little booger-eating heifer told y'all to listen to. But moving forward from her fucking mustard and her cute mustard. She looked like she got mustard in her cuticles
her
and like around her fingernails.
Activated.
Nasty.
Yeah,
moment.
I can't stand that badass little girl. Moving forward.
And whoa, Vicky.
Shout out to James Caldwell. Moving on. That's what he be saying. James Caldwell on YouTube. But anyway, Wednesday's Grown Man Shit. CassiusLife.com. And there's some other announcements I'll be making very soon about the end of the month of June here in New York City.
We're ready.
So let's chat. See y'all soon. That's it.
And love you guys as always. Thank you so much for listening.
Stay black and protect your magic.
Catch you next week. Bye.